This is PFW in Progress.
Hello, fellas. Everybody's here. Freddy, Tom, good to see you.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I do you a favor and take Freddy in when you're having a bad time, and then you try to push me out. I gotta kick asses sometimes to make it run right. We had a little argument, Freddy and I, so I had to straighten him out. He was banging cocktail waitresses two at a time.
Paul Perillo.
Come over here, kid. Learn something.
You start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste. You fry it. You make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil. You shove in all your sausage and your meatballs.
And a little bit of wine.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Cut the crap. I got more important things for you to do. How's Paulie?
Oh, Paulie won't see him no more.
And Andy. And Andy?
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. But dumb. I'm smart. And I want respect.
Andy Hart.
I know it was you. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
Some guy named Tom.
Tom's no longer constipated. Gonna be our lawyer in Vegas. That's no reflection on Tom, but that's the way I want it.
Mike, why am I out?
You're not a wartime consigliere, Tom. Things may get rough with the move we're trying.
Maybe I could help.
You're out, Tom.
PFW in Progress.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
There you go. And welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart.
Oh, and the Patriots have a kicker.
Paul Perillo.
Steven Gostkowski, as PFW predicted.
And just as we go on, the Patriots have drafted a kicker in the fourth round, their second pick of the fourth round.
That's a good pick right there.
Steven Gostkowski.
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 Two tight ends and a kicker.
Out of Memphis.
All right.
So we got a lot to talk about, folks. When we last left you, the Patriots had traded up.
That's right.
And nabbed Chad Jackson. And since then, they've had three picks, and we'll go over all of them. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. And, guys, impressions on this last pick and other things that have gone on since we last talked to our listeners?
I think this is a good pick. Maybe a little higher than I expected, but this is the kicker I wanted in camp. Yeah, I wanted him in camp to compete with Martin Gramatica, and I think I would, in my mind, he's the favorite to win the job, not Gramatica.
Okay.
I would agree with that in terms of the favorite. I'm not sure, and I just don't know the answer to this. I don't know where all the kickers were rated and how highly they were expected to go, but fourth round does seem a little bit high to me. And I'm surprised, Fred, you mentioned the three picks that were taken since we went off the air yesterday. Nothing on defense still, which to me is more than a mild surprise. But I like the top of the draft yesterday, and I like David Thomas that they took with the third pick even, but I'm not sure exactly where Garrett Mills fits in.
Tom has David Thomas in the Pro Bowl. Tom?
Yes, he does.
I love that pick. I think David Thomas is a great intermediate tight end, Jay Novacek type. I know, hey, if you want to shoot a calendar, get Ben Watson to take his shirt off, but he hasn't shown consistency yet. He hasn't shown hands to catch the football all the time. This David Thomas will be Tom Brady's best friend. Now, the next pick is virtually the same player. Garrett Mills is the exact same type player, Chris Cooley type H-back. So that one is a little mystifying to me because they basically drafted two of the same player back-to-back and then a kicker.
Yeah, and you certainly wouldn't do that with the expectation that one of them will pan out.
Right.
Because you don't do that in the third and fourth round.
Right.
Right. I think I look at the Mills pick, and I think he's going to end up being a fullback, special teamer.
Yeah.
As I said, kind of a Patrick Pass, Dan Klecko combo, maybe.
In the fourth round?
Both those guys out of... Dan Klecko was a fourth-round pick, right?
And it was a bad pick.
And it was a bad pick.
I think he's the same exact player. And they say, you know, it's the guy that they say, if he had a couple inches and a couple pounds, he'd be great. He was productive. He'll do anything we ask him to do. We get a couple years out of him, and maybe we strike gold, and he becomes... I saw some... one of the scouting reports referenced Larry Centers. Could be a Larry Centers fullback, pass catcher... In terms
but
of
if
a
you
weapon,
look at
so.
Mills and Gostkowski, mm-hmm. is that how
yeah.
do you pronounce it?
Yeah.
You look at that as shoring up the special teams. So offense and special teams, maybe that's the two areas. And defense, we'll look at free agency. Ty Law is still out there.
Ty Law is still out there. Who's going to play linebacker?
I think every day that goes by, it gets closer to them signing Ty Law.
I think every day that goes by, it's closer to Ty Law playing corner. And Monty Beisel playing linebacker, and he's your inside guy next to Brewski, and you say Vrabel and Colvin are your outside guys.
Yeah, I don't doubt the Ty Law part, Fred. And, you know, we've been talking about it on the show almost every week. We think there's a very legitimate possibility that Ty Law comes back. But I think Andy's right. I think as the time goes by, now even if you take a linebacker, he's not starting for you. You know, anybody you get down here, day two, is not going to be starting for you unless you just you get a Zach Thomas type. You take in the fifth round and just proves all the experts wrong. It's very very rare for a guy taken this late to factor into your plans immediately. So I think it does look like Monty Beisel might be one of your starting linebackers.
That's interesting. Well, then that's something that we have to keep a close eye on as we approach training camp is the condition of the line of the linebackers. What about the defensive backs? Because that's also an area that we thought they might address.
Well, as much as I like the first day selections, which all three I thought were phenomenal picks, I am not blown away by what's gone on here so far in the fourth round.
Uh-oh.
I just think Garrett...
The sheriff isn't happy.
I just think Garrett Mills, you get, like I said, you're drafting the same guy, and then a kicker in the fourth round? If the Bills or the Jets did that, Patriot fans would be laughing all over the message boards. I'm sorry, we like this guy from Memphis, but the fourth round, when you have needs at linebacker, secondary, depth on the offensive line, I don't know. I think that's way too high for a kicker.
Well, I think it's too high. I mean, we referenced the
compensatory
picks
though,
in the sixth round. That's
right.
What we thought.
Right, we all agreed that if they could get him
now
in one of those picks, we would love it.
That's
right.
A lot higher.
You know, maybe, you know, I don't think Bill Belichick and Pioli would disagree about the needs, but maybe they're just looking at the board. There's just not value there.
All right, well, I mean,
apparently they drafted a maybe fullback and a kicker in back-to-back picks, so they don't love what's out there at a lot of positions, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't have to love every pick. We loved the first three, and, well, most of us did. But
well, I loved the second two.
I liked them all.
I liked them all. I was very high on the draft yesterday.
Yeah, but you're Homer.
That's true. A lot of people say that.
Fred, you like both picks today?
No. I'd rather not have to draft the kicker, but this team has.
But what about the Garrett Mills selection? I mean, you're basically getting a Chris Cooley type of player when you drafted a similar player just with your last pick.
Yeah, but...
Right.
So why don't you explain to me
I want to know what they're going to do with Patrick Pass. We know that...
But now you're creating a need, kind of, rather than filling needs you have.
Well,
a lateral move. Patrick Pass isn't that good. He isn't that bad. I'm just not sure.
But if they know that Pass isn't going to make it, they fill the need that we don't even know exists.
I mean, that's possible. He could be a true fullback type who catches the ball out of the backfield, contributes on special teams.
And maybe Klecko's gone.
You now have a true backup running back in Lawrence Maroney, so you don't need Pass for that emergency backup role. I mean, maybe that's how it's coming together.
I don't think he's a pure fullback. He played tight end in college.
No, I know. That's the question. So he's not a pure tight end either, so I don't know what he is. He's a specialist. He's Dan Klecko, as I said.
Yeah.
He's a guy that does some things well, very productive in college. What do you do with him at the next level?
Yeah, it's the pick I like the least, even over the kicker. I just think...
Well, the kicker's good. It's just, did you get value?
And, right.
Yeah, I was going to say, plus the kicker does fill a serious need. So you can sort of look the other way and say, okay, well, maybe they reached a little bit in terms of selection, but, you know, at least you understand exactly why they did it.
Yeah, Fred, there's still a lot of good players on the board when you're talking about the defensive tackle from Stanford who fits in really well here, could be a nice backup to Vince Wilfork. You got some good offensive linemen still on the board with Matua from USC, some good defensive backs still left. I just think taking Garrett Mills at that spot, I didn't like it at all.
Well, they must see something in the guy.
And,
right, they saw something in Dan Klecko.
Right, but I'm not saying he's a bad player.
Yeah, and I was going to say we want to stress that because you know this is you know sometimes you get a guy from Tulsa and you know who knows who he is. This happens to be a guy that was good enough to play at a level like that he made some notoriety for himself even among you know guys that just watch casually like I do. I saw this guy play a couple of times. One time in particular, I think it was against Fresno State in the WAC championship game. He was an extremely productive player at that level. I'm just wondering.
The most productive ever.
Right. And
the most productive tight end ever.
Yeah, this guy can play.
80-plus catches, 1,200 yards.
This guy can play. I'm just wondering.
Dan Klecko was a Big East Defensive Player of the Year and didn't turn into anything.
Yeah, and I'm wondering.
That's the question.
And I'm wondering what your need was here. Did you, like, Tom keeps saying a Chris Cooley type H-back when it seems like you just kind of drafted that in the third round.
Right.
And you already have two, you know, all-around solid tight ends in Watson and Graham.
I don't get it.
So you know, doesn't it seem, though, that Thomas is more of a pass-catching tight end, over-the-middle type guy?
That's what this Mills is. But that's Mills exactly what Mills is. He's not a blocker. He doesn't block. He's a pass catcher. He's productive. He's an excellent, excellent player, but that's the kind of player that they drafted twice. And I think that maybe Thomas is probably better at it.
Maybe they just felt, hey.
Well, and, you know, Ben Watson really
Thomas.
Isn't a blocker.
We didn't think Mills would be there. He's here. We got to take him.
You know, Ben Watson isn't a great blocker either. So now you got three pass-catching tight ends?
Because now you're purely going on value at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what
Except for the kicker, obviously.
That's what I'm wondering about. If you're purely going on value, then is that smart?
Fred, is there any possible player they could select that you wouldn't like? I'm just curious. Like, who could they possibly select that would make you mad?
Let's see. Marcus Vick.
Okay. I just want to know, just in case.
He came up with one.
Hold him to it, just in case.
There's a lot of picks left, Brett. Five more to go.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We're going to be here until 3 o'clock today.
Got to start making some trades.
Let me make this clear. We hate this pick. Right?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the pick. And I do
Which
like
one are we talking about?
Garrett Mills.
Yeah.
And Millsy.
And we don't hate the player. We hate the game.
Right. Right. And I know this is, you know, one of these things is going to happen. This kid's going to come in, he's going to catch passes, and we're going to get a lot of static. I know this kid can play.
Oh, there'll be Garrett Mills jerseys in the pro.
I absolutely know that this kid can play. For him to have played at a place like Tulsa, and I have heard of him, tells me that he was a little bit different than just the run-of-the-mill college player. He was good.
Okay, how good a kicker is Steven Gostkowski?
He's very good.
Let's look at his bio.
He was the kicker that Tom and Andy both targeted.
He's got a huge leg. He's accurate from long distance. I'll go on record right now. He's your opening day kicker.
Yeah,
he will beat Martin Gramatica out in training camp with relative ease.
Yeah, I feel good about
Gramatica
that,
Gramatica will be cut in probably the first or second cuts. It'll be easy. He'll be the opening day kicker.
His positives for Gostkowski: four-year starter who has shown that he could handle the pressure. Perfect from 40 and longer as a senior, hitting all 9 attempts, including 3 beyond 50. Ball takes a good rise off his toe, which I really like.
I might have to work that in the story.
His negative. Scouts have questioned his passion for the game.
Oh.
Come on, what kicker doesn't lack a little passion for the game?
Talk
they play
about,
5 times a game.
Talk about nitpicking.
practice.
And his off-season commitment to baseball detracts from his focus. Pitches for the Memphis baseball team and has missed conditioning with the football team. He's a kicker!
Versatile, that's what the Patriots like.
That's right.
That adds another baseball player to the mix, too.
Hey,
with Brady and
if
pass
a pitcher,
and
there's
Dylan.
A chance he can throw a pass. I'm serious.
That's true.
For a fake play?
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. But he's always, he's always covering all bases up there.
Let's look at his numbers. 03, he connected on 19 of 29. Long was 45. Hit all his PATs. School record for points. Hit 20 of 24 field goals in 2004 with a 49 long. And 6 of 7 from 40+. 9 of 9 on field goals 40+ in 05. Going 22 of 25 overall, hitting all PAT attempts. Holds a Conference USA record for most career field goals, 70. He's a productive guy, strong leg. And he gets, what is it, good rise off his toe.
Well, it'll be how he does under pressure. That's the key.
That's why you need to find Mrs. Gostkowski and kidnap her.
That's right.
That's Fred Kirsch's plan,
Fred
by the
Kirsch.
Way.
Fred Kirsch.
Webradio@patriots.com.
That's where you can email him. Webradio@patriots.com.
Let's get to some.
What's the next pick for us, Freddie?
The next pick for the Patriots?
Defense.
Well, I'm looking
no,
at
no,
the,
no.
I'm
what
look,
number?
I'm
what
looking
number?
At the tight end board, and I don't know.
No, what,
not
what,
many,
what
well,
number?
My
guy. No.
The Enemy or whatever.
We're at toward the end of the fourth round. The Patriots are done in the fourth.
They don't
round.
Pick until the fifth.
So what pick in the fifth?
I'm gonna tell you right now here.
Tom's gonna tell us right now here.
Actually, I'm. Oh, they pick early in the fifth, number 136 from Oakland.
Okay.
Because they traded their other fifth to Cleveland, number 152.
So that's three picks
that's
into the fifth round.
Yeah. Now I'm hoping that's Oliver Hoyt, the middle linebacker, because we thought he'd be a fifth round pick. That'd be a great selection there, and it would make my mood of this day escalate quite a bit. After I was quite happy yesterday, and I'm not as happy right now.
Yeah, but you can't let the second day bring you down as much. If you're happy on the first day,
right.
That means
no,
more
it's
than
not. I don't think it's a terrible. I'm just saying.
Plus, you know that Bill Belichick is keeping Tom Casale's mood in mind as he's making those selections.
Right.
Back.
Well, he's keeping Corey Dillon's in mind. Why wouldn't he keep Tom?
Well, I just wonder what Patrick Pass had to say when he called him.
Bob writes in from Germany. He says he loves the show. You're the only connection with the real world. I have been living here in Germany so long. I would not be able to survive without your knowledge and your reports about the Pats. I love your show. I also love the Pats picks.
Well, hey, that, thanks, was sent before the latest couple, I bet.
Yeah. we should add, I just like to say something here.
Okay.
So. You know, I took quite a beating on the message boards and on the emails when I was asked how could I have a job when I said Darnell Bing should be a fourth round draft pick. And I'm just looking down on the board here. Not only did he go in the fourth round, but he was selected by the Raiders, so that almost doesn't count. That's like he wasn't even
selected
at all.
Otherwise, he should still be on the board.
So you feel vindicated, Tom?
Yeah, because I took a heck of a beating on that. I really did.
Did he really?
I don't know.
On the message boards, they were killing me, Fred.
Really?
Yeah, the internet said I killed. And I'm just happy that you know, I saw something there and I was right about it. But I just also want to say the Patriots and Eagles showed yesterday why they continue to win. They get two good players in the first round, then they trade up in the second round, and it's almost like they got two first round draft picks, the Eagles with Bunkley and Justice and the Patriots with Maroney and Chad Jackson. Those are two good drafting teams. That's why they continue to win in this league, and I thought they both had phenomenal first-day drafts.
And I think the Eagles have continued into
D2
with Max, Gene,
and Jason Avant.
Why did I...
And I think that's why, you know, I think that's probably the single most important thing to sustain any kind of success is because you need to get young guys that come in and contribute and play at a high level for low salaries. And, you know, obviously when we're dealing with first-round picks, it's relative when we say low. But still, you know, rookie contracts are rookie contracts, and that's why teams like the Eagles and the Patriots have been able to maintain success.
Right.
You know, last year's T.O. fiasco notwithstanding.
Duncan Blackstone's very upset with me.
He should be.
He says, I sent you an email asking what position the Pats will target at 52. You read it, and then you never answered it. I sent another on the same topic, and based on the time, you stated another email was sent in. You never read mine. Give me a break. If you don't want me to email, just say it. I can handle it. I know draft day is busy, but to not answer my first email and then not read my second is an insult.
Well, Fred, I'm going to defend you here because you read the email during a pick, and as we were talking about something else, I actually said I wanted to get back for a second to the 52nd pick, and then we named a couple of guys. We named Abdul Hodge and a couple of other players.
I remember
so
that.
So we did actually go back to his email after because you read it during a pick. So we did actually address that email.
Thank you.
Right. Plus, we know that Doug's a Hall of Famer.
I mean,
he's not really.
Emails did we got a ton of emails.
Right.
It was tough. I was trying to get to as many as I could.
Our participation yesterday was outstanding.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The listeners really showed up and brought their A game to the table.
Okay.
I got every other cliche I can find.
Alan Zamitis off the board to Tampa Bay.
Hey.
You don't like him at all?
No.
Larry was hoping yesterday we'd trade up to get Gabe Watson, but he got picked today.
Yeah, they picked him today.
Arizona took him, which I think is the perfect spot for a guy who had a questionable work ethic.
And, you know, we don't want nothing
go play
to
in
do
the
with
de- go
guy.
Play in the desert.
Right. I mean, me and Andy watch centers on tape, and every center, their draft stock rose every time they played Gabe Watson. They just picked him up and threw him. And actually, that's why Gillis of Georgia, his draft stock was rising after the Senior Bowl because he dominated Gabe Watson. Then people probably figured out, hey, that's no big deal.
Right.
Everybody dominates Gabe Watson.
Nick Mangold also dominated him. And Nick Mangold is far smaller, more athletic, but he physically dominated him, and that's a bad sign.
Yeah, the guy from Stanford is a much better fit here, as is Montavious Stanley from Louisville. So that could be a guy maybe coming up that the Patriots are looking at it.
How
nose
come
tackle.
You just keep saying the guy from Stanford?
Because I can't say his name at all. I never will be able to say it. I'm praying they don't draft him.
Fred, why don't you read it?
Babonditude Ashinalo.
Babatunde.
I'm sure that will be my pick.
Babatunde Ashinowo.
Owo
is me.
Cliff in Sanford, this might be a question for you, Paul, because I know you're a New England college guru. Brian Laffam out of Harvard.
Yeah, I'm not real well versed on the Harvard kid. I did see that email come in.
And I don't have a clue who he is.
Domata Pico.
You know, my rule of thumb, Fred.
Does he have a brother?
Yeah.
Skill position guy. He's an offensive lineman.
The interception against Ohio State when he was rumbling down, remember, or I think it was Ohio State, when Musburger said.
So I can't really intelligently give you any kind of.
Are you slipping on your local prospects?
For a lineman? Andy, what did I tell you about the Northeastern lineman?
I can't say it.
Yeah, Paul can't give you
a
good
scouting report
on
Ryan Gibbons. I can't give you a scouting report on
Harvard.
I've
got to give him a pass on that one.
Still talking about emails we got after the fact yesterday. Dwayne says, I'm extremely satisfied with the first day of the draft for the Pats. When you think of the two players the Pats have drafted, combined with Branch, Watson, Graham, and the offensive line, we now have a youthful, athletic, and potentially explosive offense. I'm not sure what the average age would be of the starting offense come September, but it can't be any higher than about 27 or 28. I find it interesting and noteworthy that starting this year, the foundation of the offense will be nearly all players drafted by the Pats, so the performance of the offense in coming years will be a reflection of how well the Pats scouting department has performed. Another note, do you guys realize that if Reggie Bush lives up to his potential, Mario Williams will have to average 15 sacks a season to make that pick any sense?
Well, and you know what, to back the Texans, we can't stand what they did with the Bush thing, but after that, they've really had a good draft, building from the inside out, the defense, the offensive line. So you do got to tip your hat a little bit to them for having a good draft, but I think they'll regret not taking Reggie Bush forever.
And if you're going to go by statistics, Mario Williams will probably never live up to that pick.
No.
Because I think he's a Richard Seymour type who very well could be dominant, but he's not going to have 15 or 18 sacks, probably. He's not going to have the numbers
right.
in the back of his card.
It's interesting. If you had Reggie Bush, and as the emailer says, he lives up to what a lot of people think he could be. So let's say he's a Gale Sayers type, just a game-breaking, slashing, dynamic runner. Richard Seymour taken in that spot would probably seem like a disappointment.
Mario Williams has to be better than Richard Seymour if that happens.
And Richard Seymour is the most dominant defensive lineman in the game.
Right.
You can't compete if you're a defensive lineman with touchdowns, 100-yard games, 100-yard receiving games, 2,100.
Yeah,
you know, you can't compete with that in the big picture.
They were talking about that on the NFL Network last night, that Mario Williams is never going to win this battle
because his
stats will never live up to what Reggie Bush's stats could possibly
be. Bush has to be a bust for him to win.
Yeah, he's going to need to be very mentally strong. To be able to withstand the slings and arrows, because he's going to get them. He's definitely going to get compared constantly to a running back, and it's not fair.
Down there, Vince Young will be thrown in the mix, too, if Vince Young is having a good time in Tennessee.
Dwayne finishes up by saying another point. Wasn't the Titans selections just odd? I can't foresee Vince Young or Lendale White making an immediate positive impact in the upcoming season, and those are their top two picks. Does it make sense to make two developmental picks your top two?
Well, I don't think Lendale White is developmental.
Not at all.
Any running back you take can come in and contribute immediately.
Here's my opinion on the whole situation. I believe this is Jeff Fisher's last year in Tennessee. I think he will be fired at the end of the year. I don't think he should be because I think he's a very good coach, but I just think they're moving on to the future there in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And
I think Fisher's a real... I
think he's a good coach.
I think he's a very good coach.
I do too.
GM would go before him.
But I just think there's some things going on there in Tennessee. I don't think he's happy there anymore, and I think there's some situations going on there that we don't really know about.
Based on the fact that they took Vince Young, Fred tells me that Reese will be around longer than Fisher because Reese won the power struggle.
Right.
Adams and Reese won it.
Well, speaking of power struggle, I heard it was Sean Payton wasn't exactly sold on taking Mario Williams down in Texas. I thought he wanted Reggie Bush. That's what I heard.
They took Reggie Bush.
I mean the other way around.
Sean Payton is in New Orleans.
In New Orleans. Sean Payton wanted to take the quarterback rather than Reggie Bush. Liner. He wanted Liner.
He wanted to pass up on Bush again, so
he wanted Liner.
Wow.
So.
That's interesting.
Imagine if he ended up...
But you got to love Denny Green, though, don't you? He's got to be the luckiest guy in the history of the world.
And he admits it.
He just sits there and Moss falls to him, Culpepper falls to him, Leinart falls to him. You got to love Denny Green.
Culpepper was the fifth quarterback taken at number 11, I want to say, that year. And the likes of Tim Couch, Akili Smith. Now, I know McNabb was one of them, so obviously...
Cade McNown.
And Cade McNown.
Barry Colfield.
Three guys
that
absolutely, were the epitome of a bust. And he's ended up with Culpepper.
Yep.
It was pretty good.
Let's see. This is Tony from Kissimmee, Florida. He said it's an outstanding job analyzing the draft, and in particular the Patriots picks. Thank you. These guys do it mostly.
I was going to say, Fred goes, thank you.
Well, I speak for the show.
Okay.
I think we
need Fred, though. He adds the comic relief. It wouldn't be the same without him.
I think Belichick and Pioli did a fantastic job of giving Tom Brady more tools to increase the effectiveness of the offense. I see these offensive picks as a way to increase time of possession, get more scoring in the red zone, and help keep our defense off the field. Now, if the Pats can get Oliver Hoyt in the fourth round, we talked about him. It's too late now.
We have built Oliver Hoyt.
Yeah.
I'll be in hog heaven by the way. Tom Casale is a great addition to PFW, and along with Andy Hart, has produced a well-written and thought-out comprehensive draft guide worthy of national recognition. Thanks for bringing the Patriots to my home in Kissimmee, Florida.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate the compliment and the, you know, the nice comments. And I think he makes a very good point, because I was a little mad earlier on in the offseason because I said, if you have a Tom Brady, what's the sense of having him if you're not going to put weapons around him? He's your biggest commodity. And they obviously...
I'm also wicked handsome to you.
Well, maybe they didn't listen to me, but they were obviously knew what they were going to do in the draft, and that's what they did, and I think they did a very good job of doing that. And, hey, if they want to run a four tight end set, they got the flexibility to do it.
And Bill admitted they were considering both offensive weapons at 21. Both Lawrence Maroney and Chad Jackson. So they were looking offense there
and
with the way it
like
unfolded.
We said, Philadelphia was probably doing the same thing with Justice and Bunkley, and both teams
ended
got
up,
both players, great drafting.
And
they,
so
they must feel pretty good about the offensive line, too, to, you know, look at the fringes and not focus on the offensive line. They must think that they're going to be pretty solid.
They must be. Those guys are healthy.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But they've also always believed that they can put guys out there. They have guys in the system that can compete.
And they felt like last year maybe that they took the first two picks were offensive linemen. They didn't maybe want to look in that direction again unless the value just knocked them over. But also with these tight ends, you got to figure, look, one of the thinnest positions they had was receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they only took one, you know, true wide receiver, but maybe they look at the tight end spot as augmenting that receiving core. And now with
you got Richie Caldwell too.
Yeah, right. And one of the things this does in a positive sense is that, like, some we get emails that why doesn't Ben Watson play receiver? Well, he can't play receiver full time, but now maybe you split him out wide from time to time, get some matchups out wide.
Yeah.
That would be good inside the 20.
Wouldn't be surprised to see Bill use him like that at all. I think that's a good point.
I mean,
Tom,
you do a quick little slant to Watson out wide on a little cornerback. That's a mismatch.
And I know you guys probably think I overrate Chad Jackson, but I truly believe he's the number two, whether it's week one, week eight, week one next year. I think he's the number two wide receiver here, and I think that allows the other people to fall into position as number three, Richey Caldwell, number four, Troy Brown, even number five, Bethel Johnson, as just a kick returner and once in a while comes in and runs deep again. You bumped everybody back to where they deserve to be.
I think you're right. I think he starts opening day as the second receiver.
Any concern about
the
slow development of wide receivers sometimes as rookies?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so
I said week one, week eight, or week one next year.
But the reason I'm siding with Anthony is because they sent him.
Andy.
His name is Andy.
The reason I'm siding with Andy is because Chad Jackson said when they talked to him, which one of you guys covered? Oh, it was your brother. That talked to Chad Jackson said that the Patriots were the only team that actually sent him some of their offensive plays.
Also,
and stuff.
They quizzed him a little bit.
Also remember,
five times.
And I know you don't like to hear this a lot, but in this system, Deion Branch came right in and was productive.
But that was Deion Branch being, what was the word Bill used? Unusual, believe he said.
Bill,
how advanced he was coming out of Louisville.
It would be hard to
offense.
It would be hard to expect, I think was the way he termed it, anybody coming in with the kind of background.
He doesn't want to set this guy up.
But the kind of background in terms of understanding the concept that Deion Branch
had. But what you're looking at here is if Ben Watson takes on a bigger role this year, if Chad Jackson gives you 50 catches as a rookie,
that's first team all rookie right there.
So there you go.
Yeah, I have high expectations for Chad Jackson. I think one thing that helps him to some degree is he was productive in two different offenses in back-to-back years. Last year under Urban Meyer, as Bill said, they did a lot of four wide. He was an inside guy running pro-type read routes. It cut down on his yards per catch, but he still caught 80-plus passes, had a good year. The year before, he was more of an outside guy running deep and set a school record with just under 23 yards per catch. So, you know, maybe it's only 29 catches, but he was productive in two different ways, in two different systems. They invested a lot in this guy in terms of five times he said they visited with him. They leave him with a part of the offense to study. He comes back and obviously impresses them with how much he digested and could deal with that. Urban Meyer and Bill Belichick have now two springs in a row. They've spent a lot of time together discussing offensive philosophies and coaching. So maybe Urban Meyer, not being necessarily a Belichick guy, has earned or risen to a level where Bill says, you know, if he really likes this guy, if he's impressed with his coachability and his intelligence, maybe that means a little bit more than the average college coach.
Kevin in Las Vegas says, now that linebacker has gotten a bit thin, I'm interested to see what you think of A.J. Nicholson of Florida State. His computer numbers aren't great, and he has a couple of off-field issues, but I've seen him dominate games. Is he or should he be on the Pats' radar?
No, absolutely not. Any guy who gives a story that he was just running down an alley in the middle of the night and then tripped into the bushes when the cops were looking for him is not going to be playing in New England.
Paul, they got food out there?
Yes, is they got food out there.
Yes, the food's out there, and we also missed the Garrett Mills conference call.
What? Okay. How's that happen?
How did it happen?
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily make sure that every single person was there.
We have that recorded, though, right?
I told you.
Well, I'm sure Chris has it recorded, but they'll also give us a transcript.
Maybe. Is Garrett Mills going to be like Mr. Irrelevant, even though he was taking the fourth round?
So who's getting me food is what I want to know.
Gary.
Oh.
Fred needs food.
Let's see. Sean in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Welcome to day two of the NFL draft, otherwise known as day one of 365 days to the Buffalo Bills pick first in the 2007 NFL draft. I was happy with the first two picks of the draft yesterday and heard the replay of the show. You guys were very entertaining. I don't understand the Belichick-Pioli fascination with the tight end position, but the pick today is more of a full bet. With these tight ends, does the possibility of A, Ben Watson moving to wide receiver, or B, Daniel Graham being traded or not being re-signed?
Not being re-signed.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Plausible possibility.
He is a free agent next year.
At the very least, if one or both of these guys pan out, you have a lot of leverage here with Graham. If Graham wants to sit there and demand money, you can very easily say, hey, good luck to you, Daniel.
Go play for Denver.
Thanks for the 5 years.
Tell him he's a tackle and beat feet.
I don't think Garrett Mills is a fullback. I don't think you're going to line Garrett Mills up in front of Corey Dillon and say, take on,
but they don't really do that here.
Right, but I'm just saying.
It's more of a Patrick Pass fullback.
Well, I don't know.
How often do they run those ISOs when they're looking for a guy to blow up a linebacker?
I think he's a pure pass-catching tight end. Chris Cooley, when he came out, was listed as a fullback, but how many times have you ever seen Chris Cooley block in a fullback kind of mode? He's always catching the football as a tight end. That's what Garrett Mills is.
And I think that's what you'll see him, the role he'll be in. I mean, the way they run that zone almost style, and you're not going to see him trying to blow people up. The one guy they had in here to try to be a true fullback, Fred McCrary, didn't last. So I don't think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the Larry Centers, Mark Edwards. You know, when he blocks, it's more of a position blocking and in motion.
And I'm
the way
sure
we
he
see
can
Brandon
do that.
Watson. So I don't think they'll ever really be looking for a true knock him down, you know, blow up the hole type fullback.
You guys didn't like Doomerville, right?
No. He just went to Denver.
Yeah, no, I liked him.
And we do not like Denver's draft. I can tell you from looking at it last night and then the pick today.
That's one of the few guys that I blatantly disagree with you guys on. Elvis Doomerville. I mean, not saying he's an impact guy. This is late, bottom of the fourth round here. I think he has potential to be one of those guys that doesn't look like he has a position, but he is a player and he might find a niche for himself.
Maybe. In general, I'm not thrilled with what Denver's been doing.
Sean also says, with Chad Jackson on the board, do you still feel the need for another wide receiver or veteran or drafting?
Yes.
And why do you feel that Belichick does not like rookie linebackers? Only one drafted so far, three drafted in 6 years.
That's a good question. Maybe because of the complex of the defense.
I think it's complex. And it takes a lot physically and mentally.
And then that brings back our boy, Oliver Hoyt, who Dean Pease said picked up the stuff he was giving him very quickly.
Right.
Maybe they're looking at him in the fifth round.
Maybe.
I think one of the big reasons that that they don't like him is because they're very hard to evaluate for the Patriots' purposes. And I don't think there are a lot of guys that have the physical attributes that New England wants in their system. Bill talked about it on the Wednesday pre-draft press conference. Most of the guys playing outside now most likely translate to inside. Well,
thank you, Mike Vrabel.
A lot of those outside guys now in college, you know, the 220, two 230, that maybe they lack, as Tom always says, the girth, you know.
A Patriot off the board.
To sit there and fill out, the inside linebacker position. And I think the outside guys are more obvious, the tweener types, the defensive ends that you don't know if they can translate. So I think that might be a reason why. I think he finds it awfully difficult to evaluate that spot.
Kai Parham still on the board, right?
Yep.
As far as I know.
Parham and Hoyt.
That's got to be the pick. Hoyt or Parham.
Should we just stop trying to predict the position?
Either that or a punter.
Or a quarterback.
Plackmeyer or whatever that guy's name is.
Plackmeyer?
Oh, not him. I can't spell him either.
Paul writes in from the Netherlands.
Hey!
He says he was
Pablo.
He was very happy with the pick of Maroney. Jackson was a great pick as a probable first rounder. Thomas, as a replacement for Fourier, seems to be a good one. But now, the second day of the draft, they pick another tight end. What's up with that? I was expecting an inside linebacker to be picked, a good one who could step in right away is Oliver Hoyt.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Tom and Andy really did a good job on this.
This is really one of the funniest things of all time, because nobody in the world knows who Oliver Hoyt is. And
apparently,
we just,
Paul from the Netherlands does.
Because he's reading Patriots.com, and he listens to the radio show.
He's a loyal listener. God bless him.
I'd like to go to other like chat room websites for other teams that are looking for linebackers, to see if there's one reference to Oliver Hoyt. He owes us part of his signing bonus right to PFW, at least a subscription.
But we're pulling for him in the fifth round here.
Word.
Ronald just says simply two tight ends.
I'm with you, Ronald.
I'm with McDonald. Ronald Miller?
Ronald McDonald Miller.
Who's Ronald Miller?
Never mind.
Don't worry.
Okay, Justin from
I got
to
laugh out of G, though.
Justin was a big contributor yesterday. He's back today.
Is he from Alaska?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
He says, I have to say I'm happy with day one. Maroney and Jackson, a high-value combo that I had no anticipation of the Pats landing both. When I read up on Thomas, they weren't real high on him, but Mike Mayock and other on the TVs were excited with him. But who the heck is Garrett Mills? And more importantly, is there something wrong with Graham or Watson that they aren't telling us? I know that Mills can play fullback. Is that what Belichick is up to? And what are your thoughts on getting that kicker? I think it sounds like this draft is working out very well.
Except for the extra tight end, it's a very good draft.
Here's what, you know, fourth round, I know you guys say that might be a little high to take a kicker. I like it because it shows that, and I know it killed Belichick to have to take a kicker in the fourth
round. Yeah, I'm sure it did.
But it shows that they just weren't stubborn about it. They knew they had a need. All this talk about, well, they had a need, so that created value for that guy, for the Patriots, that maybe didn't exist for a lot of other teams. And they took him a little higher than maybe he was worth, but I just think that, it showed that they're not completely.
And you know what, Fred? You know what, Fred? If the pick before wasn't another tight end, I probably would be right on board with you. It's the Garrett Mills pick that I think is sticking in a lot of people's craw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I agree.
I just like the fact that we said he was the best kicker, and there were a lot of varying reports on kickers out there, and we were right.
I think most people, the consensus, agreed with you.
You know what's funny, though?
I don't think there was a consensus on kicker.
Andy Hart tends to give me a lot of static because I selectively use what Bill Belichick says to my advantage. But now all of a sudden, Andy Hart says, and, you know, we thought that Gostkowski was the best kicker on there, and we were right because Bill Belichick took him.
I'm just going by value, Paul. That's all I can do.
I'm just telling you how much of a fraud you are. That's all.
Somebody named Athletic Cat. Right,
Athletic Cat.
Yeah, is it possible that Belichick and his staff, while being masters at drafting defense, lose something when they have to choose offensive players? Two tight ends? I don't understand.
I don't know either.
Which offensive players? I mean, has there been more disappointing draft picks on offense as opposed to defense?
Tight ends they've struggled with. Holloway.
But again,
what's his
Graham,
name?
Graham Watson.
Graham was a bust because he turned out
to be exact.
I mean, this Mills guy, they could be
and the jury
projecting
is not yet
him.
In on Watson.
They could be projecting this Mills guy as one of those, you know, special teams dynamos.
Right.
You know, the next.
And Klecko.
Because remember, Izzo is not getting any
just,
younger.
Fred, you go in the wrong direction here for me.
Why?
Because in Tom Casale's world, we don't draft special team dynamos in round four.
Well,
when we're not the champions of the world.
Let me tell you something.
They're not the Super Bowl champions. They can't afford to be drafted special teams guys.
It did not
they
hurt.
Signed Mel Mitchell.
Listen,
they signed to Bucky
it
Jones.
It did not hurt the Miami Dolphins, and it has not hurt the Patriots to have Larry Izzo, who's almost a perennial Pro Bowler, at the special teams position on their team. And I know, you know, Izzo's getting older. They've got to find that next guy.
But I didn't say that he doesn't want those special teams players
right.
on the team. It's where he gets them that he's talking about.
Well, I think if you knew that Izzo was going to be the guy, you'd pick him in the fourth
round. Okay, but no, I wouldn't, Fred, first of all. And second of all, I don't have to love every pick. I mean, they've had a pretty good draft. There's one pick we don't like. And I think a lot of people are going to agree with that. I think a lot of Patriot fans will say, we really like the draft. The Garrett Mills selection is a little odd.
I even couch my dislike because I think the guy's a good player.
Right. we all think he's good. And I think he could have a good career for the Patriots. It's just weird that they selected the similar kind of player back to back.
No, I agree. It is weird, and I'm just trying to figure out, maybe think of some reasons why they
now,
did it.
And the emailer makes a good point. Maybe there's something wrong with Graham that we don't know about. You know, maybe there is
some. Well, he has had multiple shoulder problems, multiple surgeries, and it's an issue that keeps popping up. So,
and he somehow played some of those games down the stretch.
John from Toronto says, guys, relax. I think they took two tight ends because Graham won't be here next year. Don't get me wrong. I love Graham, but maybe the Pats don't.
Yeah, but you took a guy that could replace Graham, so you would have probably Thomas and Watson. You get your third tight end when you get your third tight end.
Next
you don't
year.
Target him. He's Fred Baxter.
Thank you. Let's not make out this third tight end to be the most pressing need in the history of the world.
Right.
But they have about three linebackers who can play on this team.
But let me tell you,
we're now projecting the third tight end a year from now.
Well, right. Tight end is obviously a very important position in this type of offensive
scheme.
So
is outside linebacker. Right.
So they want to make darn sure that they've got that position covered.
And now counting their you know, specialty tight ends like Mike Vrabel, they now have five of them. So
and,
they'll be
all set. And it's not so much tight end. It's versatility. It's guys that can line up next to the quarterback.
We
it's
understand,
guys that can line
Fred.
Up wide. They need to be versatile for this offense
can
to
we
work.
Just back down? We'll back down. Great pick. Guy Mills. Garrett Mills.
I don't understand why you can't use those other guys in those roles, and you needed to draft a guy just so you could line them up next to the quarterback.
We think both Thomas and Mills are very good players. We're just surprised that they were selected back-to-back. That's what we're saying.
Anthony writes in, I love the pick of Gostkowski. We have a future superstar that could maybe fill the shoes of Adam Vinatieri, even if he isn't as good.
Well, we got a lot of fans watching a lot of Memphis football, huh?
Well, not
they
only
don't like D'Angelo Williams, they love
but
the
they
kicker.
But they like the kicker.
Yeah, I love it.
Which kind of cements your view from yesterday, that if we had taken D'Angelo Williams, the scouting report would have been different. But I think that this kid is going to be under a lot of pressure. Because not only is he replacing Adam Vinatieri, potentially, if he beats out Gramatica, which I agree with Andy about, that I think he will, but he's a fourth-round pick.
Right.
That's a lot of pressure for any kicker, period.
Maybe that's part of it.
Let's, you know? So, what possible part could that have played
in? Let's show this kid how important this job is by picking him right there.
So if he's not able to live up to it, you've thrown away a fourth-round pick. That was part of it?
Paul, you got to find out somehow.
You draft him.
I mean, it wouldn't be the last time
you draft
a fourth-round pick
he
didn't pan out.
No, absolutely. I'm not... The only pick that I agree with Tom, the only pick that I question is Garrett Mills, not the kicker. The kicker fills a huge need.
David writes in, I know this no respect thing is getting a little tired, but wouldn't you guys consider the Pats winners yesterday? They hit value and filled needs, so why did ESPN not call them winners?
Well,
I'm shocked that their draft has not been lauded more. I know it's not over, but come on.
Well, listen, I've heard him.
You're right, David.
No, Fred, I got to disagree here. First of all, ESPN never knows what they're talking about, so you got to disregard what they say. But the NFL Network, virtually everybody on there applauded the Pats draft. Guys on the internet, writers on the internet. So I think a lot of people said what the Patriots did. I mean, Mike Mayock was absolutely stunned that they got Chad Jackson where they did. He said it was the best pick of this draft of any player. So I think a lot of people are giving him credit.
Just so you know, Ron Borges thought it was an excellent
job.
Ron Borges thought they did an excellent
ESPN
job.
ESPN is ESPN. I don't really care what they have to say, and I don't think anyone else should either.
Al Siciliano says, why another tight end in a kicker in the fourth round?
Al's not happy.
Fred, you going to set Al straight?
Al's not happy. You got to get a kicker, though. I mean, what happens if...
I don't mind the kicker.
You know, what
I
if
don't
you,
mind
what
the
if
kicker.
You waited to the fifth and this guy's gone?
I don't mind the kicker.
Okay.
They needed to draft one, and they weren't going to take any chances one they wanted was going to be there. I don't mind that pick at all.
Zaki Jabbar from Stamford, Connecticut says, I was extremely pleased yesterday with the Patriots picks, but I have to agree with you about eyebrows being raised today. I completely don't understand the other tight end pick and agree about the kicker being too high. I was sure he would have been there in the fifth. Besides Hoyt, who else is left that you would think would be a good fit for the Patriots system?
Well, I like that Brent Hawkins, as I said, is a developmental outside pass rushing guy. First step, you know, off the ball is as quick as anybody in the draft. He's a guy maybe you get in one of your six-round picks that Bill can develop in a year or two. That's a guy like... Kai Parham went to Virginia. Bill said at his press conference, the college team that runs the most similar defense to the Patriots is Virginia. Connect the dots right there. You could possibly have him. Now, here's something else to look at. Ahmad Brooks, supplemental draft. He's going to be in it. Maybe the Patriots select him, and there's your linebacker.
Have we done any research on that? Did you find out any more details into the whole...
I don't know what happened, but as far as I know, he will be entering the supplemental draft. So there's a possibility there, too.
Okay.
Just so you know, we just missed our second conference call, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was going out.
Well, it might still be going. It was going when I was out there.
I just steal it from Mike Reese.
Mike Reese is reporting the Patriots have drafted some players.
What's the fare today?
A variety. There's some turkey, some stuffing,
is there
stuffed shells. There's a lot of meat. I didn't see the bread to put the meat in, but there's rolled up
I like
salami.
Rolled up. There's nothing better than rolled up meat.
Some of this stuff, whatever this is.
Oh, yeah.
Pepperoni.
We might be
stuffed
taking
shells,
a break soon.
Bread, salad. There's a cheesecake bar.
Wow.
There's a baked potato station that I'm going to hit next with, like, bacon bits and cheese and sour cream.
Wow.
Good spread.
It's good to have a game of the day that the Revs have their home opener because the kitchen's in full swing.
Oh, I thought yesterday's meal is unbeatable. The fajitas is the best meal they make in this press box.
Jackpot.
Bar none.
All right. All right, well, here's what we're going to do. We got a lot of emails to get to. The Patriots are picking in four spots, 136. Is that where their next pick is?
It's I got to turn the page.
Got to flip pages. It's in the fifth
okay,
round.
Okay, so Baltimore's on the
136, yes.
So we're going to come right back after this break, and we'll be right on top of the Patriots pick.
The defending Eastern Conference champion New England Revolution are back, and the Revs want you to be a part of the action when they open their 2006 home schedule. Sunday, April 30th, come see 2005 MVP Taylor Twellman.
Taylor Twellman!
Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, Clint Dempsey. And the rest of the Revolution as they take on the Chicago Fire. And all fans at Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 Revolution schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Free. And get to the stadium early and enjoy the interactive theme park soccer celebration free at every home match. Plus, this season, parking is also free. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable day for the whole family. Tickets are just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. And get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution.
This is PFW in progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen,
We are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Ferrillo.
Double burger?
Just had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you wanted. I was there.
So give me that sandwich.
What do you mean your sandwich? I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy?
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in progress.
Sky rockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
All right, welcome back to PFW Progress. Fred Church, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, and Paul Ferrillo.
P.J. Daniels goes to Baltimore. He was one of my late-round running backs.
We're two picks away from the Patriots' fifth-round pick now. We're in the fifth round of the draft as we speak. Things are going fast as there's only 5 minutes between picks in the fifth round. So between now and, I think, five or six tonight, we should be done. But we'll be here until 3. And the email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Want to thank everybody who listened over the weekend yesterday and today. We've got a lot of emails coming in. We're going to try to get to them all, but we appreciate everybody listening in and following the Patriots draft along with us, because, as you know, this is really the only place you can get that kind of Patriots talk that you're looking for. You know, not a lot of the jabber that you hear on ESPN and all that garbage.
Right, I said we are the only place. Not local radio where they're talking Red Sox and Manny didn't run out. He only got a triple, didn't get the inside the park home run.
Hi, this is Heidi Klum. Now that's what you're looking
for. Exactly. See, even supermodels know.
Right.
Although she's married to Seal, so she's a little questionable in her decision making.
And, you know, we've got the emails are coming in from all over the world.
Are you taping this already?
Anthony's in Boynton Beach, Florida. He says, do you think the Patriots will get a defensive tackle in the fifth round and get another receiver in the sixth because Troy Brown's best years are behind him?
They could still use another receiver.
I don't know. I projected Mike Haas in the sixth, and that was another thing I got killed for, because apparently he was going to be a top third round draft pick. But I thought he was a guy who could slip because
can we get
of his
the horn?
Well, no, I'm just saying. I thought he was a guy who could slip because of his measurables weren't that great, and I think he'd be a nice fit here in New England.
Mm-hmm. I got no problem with that, but I think you could add another legitimate receiver to the mix to try to fight for a job and positioning. And you know, you certainly don't want to be handing Bethel Johnson anything. And the more competition you have, either you get a new guy or maybe it pushes Bethel.
Buffalo Bills are on the clock, and they've just picked Kyle Williams, defensive tackle from LSU.
That's a good pick. I like him. Good, solid player. Nothing fancy. Can do a lot. I like that. Good citizen.
Don from Boston writes in, I noticed Orion Harris from Miami is still on the board.
Just went to the Steelers.
Oh, okay. Too late. But thanks for writing in, Don, from Boston.
He wouldn't really fit the nose tackle. That was one of the reasons he slipped down the draft, according to Corey Chavis, who's the best draft analyst alive. He said that Harris, there was questions whether he could play the two. They weren't sure where they were going to plug him in. So that's he probably wouldn't have been a good fit here in New England.
We've really jumped into the good part of the draft on NFL.com on their draft tracker. They have every position. And with Dominic Hixon to the Broncos, we've reached the point where you can't click on the guy's name and find out who he is.
Well, yeah,
and I had no idea who he was.
One guy, but they eventually found something on him.
I like when you get to that.
They had to go to MySpace.com to get it, though. Mike from New Bedford, Mass.
Do you have a MySpace thing, Fred?
Hell no.
You seem like the kind of guy, the web guy.
Why?
I don't know. I'm
a disillusioned teenager that wants to commit suicide. Is that what you're saying?
We're not making any generalizations.
Mike from New Bedford, Mass. Okay, enough with the tight ends. Let's get to what we need. Who are some possibilities for linebacker now in the later rounds, and where should Vrabel play, inside or outside? Because he was productive inside.
Where should he play? Outside. More productive. But he can play inside for you if you need it. But in all likelihood, as I said, I think it gets closer and closer to Monty Beisel plays inside, Vrabel goes back outside, and those are your four linebackers to open the year.
Where's your depth? Because you got one or two of them.
You got a couple of guys still left on the board here. You got Tim Dobbins from Iowa State. I don't believe he was drafted yet.
I like him.
You have Hoyt, our guy, for, you know. You got Kai Parham from Virginia.
You got that other guy I don't like from Northwestern,
You got
right?
Freddie Roach from Alabama, who's had some injury concerns. Dale Robinson from Arizona was a guy we mm-hmm. like. Can play inside or outside. Vicious, vicious hitter. Reminded me of Rodney Harrison, actually, playing linebacker. So those are guys maybe in the fifth, sixth round they could be looking at. And Brent Hawkins, the defensive end, outside linebacker hybrid, like possibly, guys like that.
And you don't have depth, Fred. I mean, to answer, you may not have depth. You may have starters. Then you may be counting on guys like Ryan Claridge or a draft pick, somebody they select this weekend, or a Tully Bantakane. It may not be the perfect situation.
And I'm going to jinx the pick now, just as long as it's not Spencer Havner of UCLA, because that guy sucks.
He does.
All right, Matt from Cambridge, England, says, I think that taking Gostkowski in the fourth is a decent pick. Belichick and Pioli obviously thought he was the only good kicker in the draft and that he would be gone by the fifth. I agree with you guys and hope that the Pats now pick Hoyt with the fifth round pick. Also, the Texans will regret passing on Bush for years.
Well, I think the emailer makes a good point that that maybe this was the only good kicker they thought was in the draft. And if that was the case, that is probably why they drafted him that high.
I can't wait till they draft Oliver Hoyt. I watch one practice and go, this guy sucks.
and then I'll be online going, boy, Andy Hart really missed this one.
Chris in Tampa has his own take on things. Don't you think the Patriots just went the cheap route with the early rounders? I can't take it when we draft a guy, a tight end from Tulsa, in the fourth round, and then say he's undersized and probably has to move to fullback. That's exactly what our team needs, a fullback in the fourth and a kicker in the fourth. I don't think this Tulsa tight end was on anyone's board, and definitely not in the fourth round with our first selection. The Pats are going the cheap route and looking for a strict special teamer in the fourth. Take care and God bless.
Why is that cheap?
Well, that's the thing that, you know, the emailer I don't think understands is it's a basically slotted thing. It's no cheaper to sign Gostkowski as a kicker
right.
where he was than it would be a linebacker.
Well, I thought maybe where he was going with Mills, you have a rookie fourth round pick playing special teams and you cut somebody like Izzo or one of those veteran
okay.
Don Davis types
okay.
to save
all right.
500
okay.
grand.
Yeah.
Because that's what Fred believes he is. He's the next Larry Izzo
right.
for the next 10 years making Pro Bowls.
So, well, the Patriots are on the clock. Is this our boy? Is this Oliver Hoyt? Is Dean
Patriots
Pease,
are on the clock.
Did Dean Pease break the door down and say, Bill, what in the heck are you doing? Give me a defensive player.
Garen Dancy, a linebacker here. You heard it. Linebacker.
Great
okay,
pick,
we'll
P.J.
See.
Daniels by Baltimore.
I think they'll probably do defensive back.
Another great draft by the Ravens,
linebacker.
Too. Speaking of good drafting teams, very good draft by the Ravens.
You like the way what the Ravens are doing down there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Okay, we're waiting for the Patriots pick, number 136 overall.
We haven't been right yet, so we're going to go Oliver Hoyt or Kai Parham
this
here.
This is the third
yep.
pick in the fifth
I like
round.
It.
Very high pick.
Linebacker, no question.
And, Paul, how did you like the spread out there?
It wasn't bad. Stephen Gostkowski, though, was said all the right things. Came across very well, very confident. Understands the magnitude, I think, of the situation he's going to be stepping into. A lot of questions about the weather he kicked in, and I think he might be in for a rude awakening there. He was kind of talking about how the Liberty Bowl has a very, very tough place to kick. A lot of swirling winds, but
hey, we got swirling winds.
I don't think he's seen anything like the winds he's going to be kicking in here. And he also talked about kicking in some below freezing temperatures. Never any snow, but below freezing temperatures. And he made the comment that, once it's cold like that, it's really, it's all the same no matter how cold it is. And I think there's a difference between the single digits that he might be kicking
minus
in here
17.
and around freezing that he was in Cincinnati, which is where he kicked when it was below freezing. So
any baseball talk?
I missed it. I think it was at the beginning, and I didn't want to rehash it.
Is he a baseball prospect or
I don't know.
A player?
I don't know, but I came away impressed with him, and I felt like he understood the whole thing with Grammatica and the competition, as well as replacing Vinatieri.
And I will give you my views on Garrett Mills after I read the transcript. I'm a rookie here. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Be on the radio. Guys are supposed to come.
That,
get,
that,
I don't know.
That
what's
wasn't
going
your
on.
Fault.
And then you'll say, oh, they should ask this, and this.
But we're still waiting for that Patriots pick, taking every bit of the 5 minutes.
It's because Dean Pease is trying to get through the door.
Jeez, I got to take a leak so bad I can taste it.
Patriots have picked another tight end. No, just
That's not funny. anything that's possible, not funny.
I was going to say, I like to see how he spins it when they do it.
Well, this guy is projected to be a wide receiver. So.
Project him everywhere else.
Still on the clock, New England Patriots, with their pick in the fifth round. How many picks do they have in the fifth?
One. Then 3 6-round picks.
Three in the sixth.
Okay. We're hoping they package a six or a seven.
Chances are they're on the phone right now thinking about getting rid of maybe some of those six, you know?
They can only trade one. They can't trade two of the six.
Two of them are compensatory?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
You think they'd bring in 10 guys?
We're still waiting.
We'll see.
Still waiting for the Patriots pick in the fifth
Fred,
round.
Fred, who do you like here?
Let's see.
Who is our lads like?
I'll answer that for Fred. Fred likes whoever they take.
I'm going to go with Nate Salley.
He's gone. He's
drafted.
Worth value, right?
All right. How about Johnny Jolly, defensive tackle from Texas A&M?
That's not bad.
That's an interesting one.
Played a little 3-4 in college.
Yep.
All right.
He could be a backup to Vince. That's a decent pick.
Yeah, apparently they're just going to draft backups on day two anyway, so might as well get a nose tackle.
They just don't want to announce it. Is the website? Does the website have?
I got nothing for you. They're not even up on the New Orleans pick.
Yeah, they've been a little slow.
Let's see. Jeff writes in wondering if you think Bill might be seeing the NFL slow transition to offensive favoritism, just like the NBA. The rules, the officiating, the passing game all seem to be heading in the direction of points, and more points. Maybe Bill realizes he needs to score to win and feels as though he can coach up any defense to be top five in the league on scheme alone. Tom Brady, the new Peyton Manning, anyone?
No, I agree that Brady he's in the prime of his career. So the offense should be a strength, and I also agree that
current selection.
Here are the Patriots. Tom, don't want to interrupt
you. That's okay.
The Patriots have selected Ryan O'Callaghan, offensive tackle. I like this pick.
We continue to go not defense.
Apparently, P's couldn't get through the door.
We listed defense as need, linebacker, cornerback, safety, and we've drafted offense, and a kicker.
I like it.
I'm not surprised.
And in a stunning turn of development, Fred Kirsch on board with the pick.
We've got another tackle.
I can't make funny on this one, Fred. I think depth in the offensive line was something they needed.
And
it's a good value.
I was just going to say.
I don't know how good Ryan O'Callaghan is.
To be honest, he was Kuiper's best player available right
good
now.
Good value pick, but again.
And I like the pick, too.
Are we not addressing defense at all in this draft until you get to compensatory selection? I mean, what's going on here?
That's all right. I mean, is there anybody on the board right now defensively that you say, oh, my God, you got to have him?
Oliver Hoyt.
Well,
but you got to have them. You got to have – I just don't know. I mean, you look at linebacker, I don't think they love Tully Bantakane.
And the one thing I will say here, Fred, I might have gone Fred Matua from USC, the guard, because guard to me is the position on the offensive line that has no depth at all, none. And if one of those guys gets hurt, you're going to be in tough shape. Not an awful pick, but I might have gone Matua for the inside of the line.
All right. Steven writes in, the kicker is a good pick, but was there nobody else in the world except Mills? Is this the first time Bill drafted back-to-back positions that were the same? No, I think he's done that with the defensive backs before, right?
Probably.
Back-to-back positions.
Okay. Yeah, I want to say Dexter Reed and Gus Scott were back-to-back.
Hobbs and Sanders.
They may have been as well.
Skin a cat.
And I actually think... Now, I was going to say Holloway and Love, but there may have been a pick between them.
Mankins and Kazier?
No.
You could make an argument that they were the same position.
Wasn't Hobbs in between them?
Mm-mm. I think Hobbs was after Kazier.
Hobbs was after Kazier.
Oh, he was?
Need to go change anything?
What do you want me to tell you?
No, I thought Hobbs was picked with the first one.
John writes in, I think the Pats will sign Ty Law and maybe a veteran wideout. I'd like to see the Pats draft an offensive lineman. Well, they just did. In a linebacker project, which they could put on injured reserve this year, like they did last year. I just...
We have fans who manipulate the rules.
Well, you don't think every team does that?
Nice pick here by Tennessee. Tarna Nandi, the linebacker from Miami of Ohio. Would have been a nice fit here.
Yeah, we don't draft defense here, just so you know.
Tony defends the tight end, says, Bill always has three tight ends. Maybe Watson will be in the slot. or our new number two.
We didn't criticize the third. We criticized the fourth, who can't play tight end in the NFL.
How do you know? How do you know that?
Because I told you Dan Klecko couldn't play defensive line in the NFL, and I was right.
Okay. Cisco from Washington State says, after picking a tight end, fullback, and a kicker in the fourth quarter, I think he means round, where do we go from here with our remaining picks? Well, we know offensive line is one way.
I've given up on defense.
We still have I told you. We still have a need at the linebacker.
Actually, when you
safety,
stop.
In offensive line, I think there is still some good players left, so we have some options like Parham. How about Anderson from Alabama?
He's a guy I like.
Has he been taken? No.
Nope.
I did love the first day for the Pats, but the second day is weak. And P.S., did anyone look at the New York Jets picks? Is it my belief that it is my belief that the Jets picked the players the Patriots were looking at in the fourth? What do you think?
I didn't like the Jets picks today at all. I like what they did yesterday. They picked
Missouri.
They took
Brad Smith, right?
They took Brad Smith and Leon Washington, the running back from Florida State, who I didn't have one good thing to say about.
Yeah, I didn't like him.
I didn't like Leon Washington. Maybe Schlegel was a guy that the Patriots might have been targeting, like the first pick of the fourth round today, Jets might have reached yesterday to get him in front of the Patriots. So that might have been a little bit of a reaction to the Patriots.
You know, Gary mentioned just now, do you think that the fact that they haven't really picked defensive back means they're confident that Rodney might be able to come back, Harrison?
I think it's impossible. You mean for the start of the season, though?
I don't know.
Well, he's got the same injury that Culpepper has, and he was injured what? The middle of September.
Third game.
So I think it'd be almost impossible to expect him back for the
end of the season. Yeah, but everybody's injury is a little different. There's no two injuries.
Yeah, but it has three ligaments were torn, Fred. There's no way around that. They were torn.
All right.
They've mastered it so that ACL is a year plus now. You come back in a year, you're not the same till the second year. And this is three ligaments, and a year is in mid to late September.
I do think that, Fred, to answer your question, though, I agree with everything Tom and Andy just said. I do think that they probably feel pretty confident that Rodney Harrison will be on the field
at some point
pretty early in 2006.
I'll be shocked. Color me shocked.
I think he's
at Watkins.
I no longer think he's going to be PUP'd. I think he's back before that.
Could be. I think he's going to be PUP. I'll be shocked.
But they also did sign a lot of defense. You know, Warfield can play some safeties. Got
and
the versatility.
Sabucky Jones was Sabucky a starter
Jones,
on this defense.
If they re-sign Ty Law,
right.
You know, now all of a sudden your defensive backs don't look that bad.
Right.
Neil from North Branch, Michigan. Who could have come even closer predicting the Patriots' choices this year? I am pleased with the draft, and I think the selection of two tight ends equates to a change in the offense next season. Graham and Watson on the field as every down players. I think that is awesome. It also helps with our lack of wide receivers. I know there will be criticism at the lack of defensive backs and linebackers that have been taken, but at the end of the day, the guys in the roster are up to the task. It will make linebacking a major need next year.
Well, who could have predicted what the Patriots were going to do? Andy Hart and Tom Casale, I thought, had a very good read on what the Patriots were going to do. They went an in-depth look at the running backs when they went to the combine. Tom wrote a big story on them, which running backs might be available at 21. Lawrence Maroney was certainly one of those prominently featured in that story. And Andy Hart has been on the Chad Jackson bandwagon from day one. And they liked him so much they were considering him at 21 and then thought so much of him to trade up to get him at the top of the second round. So I don't think this is as magical and mystical as everybody likes to make it out to be.
I mean, I love Dave
Thomas.
I think
there are some people that can actually look at it and have an idea on some picks. No one's going to be perfect. We haven't really had a clue
because
on the second day
they're
picks.
They're not perfect. They don't know what's going to unfold in front
exactly.
of them.
But I think this was a very logical draft, the approach to day one I don't think was out of the box
right.
at all. I thought the picks made a lot of sense. And looking at the defensive backfield the way that Tom just kind of unfolded it, we know they still want Ty Law. We know that they're talking, post and said
right.
it in the paper. If you put Ty Law in with Samuel and Hobbs and Randall Gay coming back, you know, Eric Warfield maybe as an extra cornerback, Chad Scott's here, there'll be good competition again in camp. And the safeties, if Rodney can factor into the plans at some point in 2006 with Sabucky Jones, Eugene Wilson, you know, who knows some of the
Artrell Hawkins.
Yeah, Artrell Hawkins and some of the special teams, guys like Mel Mitchell. maybe your depth isn't as bad. I think they might have wanted a cornerback at the top if they could have gotten one.
Right.
But with them not available, now your value's not there. You're just getting another guy to factor into the plans with Gus Scott and James Sanders. I don't think you need another young guy who's not top level.
And let's be honest, this is a playoff team. In this division, this is a playoff team.
Therefore,
right. If Rodney Harrison is going to be back, even if it's
right.
mid-year and playing well by December,
as long
January,
as he's ready for the playoffs,
if you put Ty Law out there, Rodney Harrison out there, Eugene Wilson, all of a sudden you have these other guys playing the roles they should, third,
right.
fourth, fifth defensive
and
backs.
And you have depth.
Right. So if that's what they feel is going to unfold, if they think they have a chance at Ty Law, and they think there's a great chance that Rodney Harrison's playing decent football again by the end of the year, they're a better football team than we think, maybe.
If they sign Ty Law...
Not what I think. I think they're pretty good.
If they sign Ty Law, the only weakness they have is if one of their linebackers gets hurt. That's it. Everything else will be solidified.
Well, but you could argue, even if they don't get hurt, it's a weakness with Monty
right.
Weisel if he's on the football field.
But Fred, I just want to mention we got an Ask PFW, and it said, just because the TV says Garrett Mills is a tight end, doesn't make it so. He is listed as more than in one publication as a fullback and rated number one in Pro Football Weekly. I still don't like the pick. Well, unfortunately, I'm a loser, and I've seen Tulsa play five times in the last 2 years, and he's not a fullback. He's a tight end, so I don't care where these guys are ranking him.
Well, they probably played him fullback during the Senior Bowl.
They did, and he struggled.
Yeah, he's a Chris Cooley type of player. That's what he is. He's not going to line up. He's not Heath Evans. That's not the type of player he is. If Paul saw him play. He knows what kind of player he is.
He was a pure tight end at Tulsa. There's no doubt about that.
Phil from Stafford Springs, Connecticut. Another possibility I'm thinking for these tight ends is for special teams. We need good tacklers in improving that part of the team. Well, that's absolutely
right. A linebacker would have never filled that bill.
Right. No, I think the special teams, especially the coverage units, I think where they've struggled a little bit on special teams more so is the return game. They haven't been able to get the return game going, punts or kicks, in really the better part of 2 years now. Coverage has been okay. A couple of glaring lapses, Carolina, for example, last year in Carolina. But for the most part, don't you guys think the coverage
yeah,
has
been
pretty
terrible.
Solid?
And one could argue that a tight end could be a better fit in return game, a blocker, getting back at the athleticism.
Right, one of those wedge guys.
A block.
Yeah.
So, but a linebacker, it's the same thing. A tight end and a linebacker in terms of special teams are virtually interchangeable because they're the same kind of guys. They have similar size, similar athleticism. They fill similar roles on special teams. So don't tell me they drafted a tight end just because he can play special teams and that a linebacker they drafted couldn't have.
Steven says, I agree with the Guskowski pick. I saw him win the Capital One Skills Challenge. It's a neat pick, but did we really need another tight end so early?
Nope.
So, well, you know, you'll have a chance to ask the question when Bill Belichick comes out later today.
But will we?
Well, I don't think that's such an unreasonable question. Why two tight ends?
Because he's going to say he was the best player available on the board, and they draft for value, not position.
Right. I thought it was the best thing for the team.
It is what it is.
Justin says, if you look at the rosters of 35 of the 40 Super Bowl winners, they all had a third tight end that was drafted by the team. What more to say?
David Thomas.
Not Garrett Mills.
Well, that was a bad email. Go on, Fred. Hit the next one.
I will. That's the thing.
You know, how many teams in football didn't have a third tight end, by the way?
A lot.
So there's... Really?
Oh,
name one.
You mean on the roster?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean,
a lot?
You
mean on the roster?
I just like those...
No, I meant in the family that's ever played for them.
I like those kinds of sets. Well, the Patriots don't really use three either.
They usually make three available.
Very little. Very, very little do they use three tight ends.
Stop the fight.
Fourier, Watson, and Graham.
At the same time.
Not on the field. I mean, active on game day, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Usually they were all active.
Well, mostly because of injuries. No?
Aaron from Chicago, Illinois. Where's our secondary? Where's our defense?
I'm sure Dean Pease is asking the same question.
I think, you know, if we can get Ty Law, I'm not as concerned about
right.
our secondary.
Right, I agree.
Now... That's a big if. You know, who knows?
Right.
You know, that's unless they know for sure they have you know, a situation where they have a deal worked out in principle or something like that. The linebacker doesn't worry me as much because I think you have where your worry is where the email, I think a couple of emailers ago said if you have one injury.
Right.
Now you're in a lot of trouble.
Because you're rolling the dice.
If you're dealing with Monty Beiser with those three other guys that we all think are pretty good, I think that's okay. I don't think Beisel was the train wreck that he's made out to be. I think Chad Brown, for example, was a lot worse than Monty Beisel. I'm not in love with Monty Beisel. I don't think he fit in great here. I'm not trying to make him out to be the, you know, the second coming of Steve Nelson, but I don't think he was quite as bad as a lot of people say. With Brewski next to him, he never really got to play with
Brewski.
Well,
that's the thing. And didn't we all kind of agree that with Beisel it was more between the ears than his ability? Because he seemed to
it
be.
It appeared to be.
He had the ability to get.
He overran a lot of plays. It seemed like he missed a lot of tackles.
And he doesn't have the girth. I mean, yeah. He did get run over a couple of times.
Yeah,
well, smaller than Brewski.
He only really got
maybe
a chance.
Maybe not weight wise, but looking at him, they are.
He really only got a chance to play with Brewski once. No, and really none, because he even in that Jacksonville game, Brewski didn't play. So,
although having said that, I'd rather have Beisel backing up Brewski and having Johnson type.
Fred, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is why I wanted them to get that Schlegel guy.
Right, but what Paul is saying,
I don't think Schlegel would have been the guy this year.
What Paul is saying, though, about the injuries, you are talking about older players now, too, nagging injuries occur, and then that's where you're going to run into some trouble.
You know, you saw Brewski miss a couple of games at the end of the game. At the end of the year last year, he's over 30 now. Rabel's in his 30s now. Rosie's, you know, certainly coming up quick. So yeah, you're going to be more susceptible to those little aches and pains that cause you to miss a game or two. And I think that linebacking core will be really at a distinct disadvantage if one of those three guys goes down.
Yeah.
Now you have Beisel out there with another, you know, quote unquote backup. I think that would really hurt
your depth. A good story that you might do next issue or the issue after is an early look at the 07 draft.
Yeah.
You know, what the field looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tim from New York City, I really don't know if Hoyt's going to even be picked in the fifth round. NFL.com doesn't even have him listed in their draft ticker. Maybe he'll be more of a sixth or seventh round pick.
It's possible. It's
possibly doesn't get drafted at all.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people aren't talking about the guy. It's just me and Andy really liked him, and I know a couple of weeks ago he had moved into Mel Kiper's top five inside linebackers. That's the highest I saw anybody rank him. We just think he's an aggressive, physical player who would fit in well with the system, and the fact that, it's weird because we liked him, then we heard that Dean Pease liked him, so that's why we kind of make the connection with him.
Earlier we had an emailer who was saying the Patriots weren't getting the proper respect on ESPN for the draft. Tony writes in, what was that emailer talking about? Mel the Hair Kiper said that the Pats had the best draft day after day one. As you correctly just mentioned, Mike Mayock practically gushed about their picks. Late last night, he went nuts about the tight end from Texas. Among other things, Mayock said Thomas is a Jay Novacek-type tight end who will catch 60 to 70 passes. He must have read Tom Casale.
Yeah. You hear that on Tom Casale. Listen to Mike Mayock.
I didn't hear him say he catch 60.
We do know that Tom slept on it and came back with the Pro Bowl analysis.
Plagiarism.
No, I did not hear him.
This is in the Boston Globe, Tom. You can't plagiarize.
It's not Harvard. We think you're at Harvard. Yeah.
What was it?
Tom just internalized it. He didn't steal it.
Okay.
He really believed it was his own words.
Sean from Hazleton, I just heard the Pats made a trade with the Redskins. Hope you could confirm. Oh. The Pats sent a fifth and a sixth round pick to the Redskins for Chris Cooley.
I hate you.
As soon as he said they sent the fifth round pick, I said that's not true because we don't have another fifth round pick.
That's funny, though.
Yeah, he got us. He got us all.
Let's see. Sir Luck says he wants Anderson, the defensive end from Alabama.
Tom, you'll be happy to know I had my way with the PR department and bitch slapped him for you.
Okay, thanks.
Oh, they must hate you.
You think?
Well, I helped them out. I gave them something they needed, and they screw Tom. They don't come get him. They tell him they're going to come get him.
What did they give you?
So ridiculous.
What?
What did you give them?
They needed a password for a website that I was able to provide.
Oh.
And then they screw Tom. So you know what? They're dead to me. They're done.
Let's see. John from Toronto says, I know this is a long shot, but maybe the Pats are thinking of trading Graham for a wide receiver. I'm thinking of a trade with the Saints.
Possibly.
I'll take it.
What was the trade?
Graham for Dante Stallworth.
Graham?
No,
would
have
Graham.
The draft
Graham
pick.
Is the part I missed.
The draft pick as well, but.
Right. I got no problem with that. I like the way he thinks.
I like Stallworth.
Okay. Well, you never know. Let's see, James from Jim from Petersburg, Florida. I agree that ESPN always seems to almost ignore the Patriots on draft day. This year it seems to have been even worse than previous years. With the Pats having a great first day, it is very disappointing. Unfortunately, we can only get the NFL channel with DirecTV. You guys are doing a great job with the player evaluations, and you are my number one source for my mock draft info.
Thank you.
That's what we like to hear.
Although you may have failed if you used us for mock drafts.
How did you guys do in your mock draft?
Not well.
Not well. I said I'd be happy if I nailed two. It's the fifth round. I haven't gotten one.
Has any of the mock drafts that we've seen...
Yeah, but who would have predicted the Patriots going to go all offense like this? I thought they could take Dave Thomas at some point in the middle round, right. But he went a little higher than I thought he would.
I'm talking about overall NFL-wise. Any of the mock drafts out there that have been pretty accurate so far?
I don't think so. Not this year.
I have no idea.
Let's see. Dave from England, I feel I really need to stand up for kickers. The drafting of kickers, I feel, is really a stare-off between teams. Kickers are very valuable, and it's just who dares take one first. If you know a kicker is going to go at the end of the second round, I would not consider it bad value to get him midway through. Vinatieri showed what a good kicker is worth. If we can get another Super Bowl
not
for any second
more.
I thought the fans didn't need him.
You guys maybe don't agree with me, but Bill clearly thinks along the same lines.
Well, no, because you let the best kicker go, or your best kicker go for a little bit of money, right? Now you're telling me you're going to overpay for an unproven rookie kicker.
Yeah, but not nearly as much as you would have paid Vinatieri.
And he's probably not going to be nearly as good, at least initially.
I don't know that.
There's a good chance he's not.
Not initially, Fred.
Young kickers, they got to learn the ropes. Especially the guy that thinks he's kicked in swirling winds.
Well, eventually, gets in this stage. You can't have Adam forever, so you got to eventually, you know, part ways.
That's true.
Adam says, speaking of... he's from Iowa. He says, I'm from Minnesota. Well, I thought you were from Iowa. He goes to school in Iowa. He's a huge Lawrence Maroney fan. I've been able to catch virtually every game Maroney has ever played in as a freshman. Lawrence relied solely on his speed, but he put on weight for his sophomore year and another 10 pounds for his junior year. He really finishes his runs well and always has his legs driving. He has incredible vision and patience. He is an explosive runner and breaks off long runs of 40-plus yards often, including a 93-yard run against Wisconsin this past season. He finished with 258 yards in that game, but this year he proved to everyone that he's more than just a home run threat. He proved he could be a workhorse, too. Against Purdue, he carried 46 times for 217 yards. He's a dangerous kick returner, and opposing Big Ten teams did not kick to him at all last year. As for your concerns about his pass-blocking skills, they do not... need work as he was not as good as of a pass protector as his former running back mate Marion Barber. However, he did prove to me that he is willing to block, and I like the fact that he was not afraid to cut block the defensive player. However, in fairness to Lawrence, the Gophers rarely throw the ball. In all three of the past seasons, they have produced two 1,000-yard runners each year and have had a quarterback that lacked mobility and arm strength. I think Maroney will be a good fit for the Patriots, and I'm looking forward to watching him play them this year. So, there you go. Someone from Minnesota giving us a first-hand account.
And Romeo got his change of direction back. Jerome Harrison from Washington State just went to Cleveland.
By the way, Fred, our PFW, Patriots Video News mock draft.
Not a single pick.
We hit five guys exactly in the spot that they were taking.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
And, you know, would have been seven if not for the Bush fiasco.
Right. So we should have, that's tremendous.
That's pretty good.
We're good.
Mel Kiper says if you hit 12, you've done a fantastic job.
And let's point out, this mock draft that was printed a month before the draft.
Right. Yes. And I would say, the most impressive one that we got is Bobby Carpenter at 18 to Dallas. You know, the other ones, we got 3, 4, 5, and 6.
But we did have Vince Young.
But Vince Young was certainly no luck.
Especially when we put that out, so that's not
right. Matter of fact, let's see. None of the other ones that we used had Vince Young going to Tennessee at 3. They all had Vince Young. I mean, not Matt Leinart.
Okay. Doug says he just got in and noticed the Patriots took a kicker. Is he a reach or is he the real deal?
Both. He's the real deal.
Andy says both.
He's the best kicker. I think you could have got him a little later. So I say both.
But I also agree with the emailer that said if they thought he was the only really great kicker in this draft and they wanted him, then you had two fourth-round picks. I can live with it.
Well, it's almost like what the Jets did last year. You know?
I never agree with that, Fred. So we can stay on the air till 7 o'clock tonight.
and you ain't going to convince me that taking a kicker in the sixth round is good. They should have taken Justin Miller at that spot and gotten lucky. They got lucky when he slipped to him later in the second round. I'd never take a kicker in the first two rounds. I don't care who he is, how good he is.
But I'm just saying, they felt that if we don't take him, we're going to lose out on him, and we have
to
have a kicker.
But in the Patriots, the same thing two rounds later. That's why they win divisions and the Jets finish in last.
Jim from St. Petersburg, Florida. Notice how I let him have the last word there. I'm not surprised that they have not drafted a corner or safety. The need there is for a number one and a backup or nickel, and
I
a
agree.
Number one is not available after the first or second round.
I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think
once you get beyond the Ty Hills
I think they might have taken Ty Hills.
There's no need to take a cornerback that you can just put in with the group of, you know, James Sanders and Gus Scott and you know.
So they feel
Hank Hank
all these guys that we've had are twos.
Right, you have these young
they
defensive backs that you're hoping. There's no need to add to that group.
That's why you're signing.
Philadelphia keeps it up. Jeremy Bloom.
That's a good pick.
The skier.
Just a phenomenal draft by the Eagles.
Best draft on out there?
Yeah, I would say so. Just based on, I haven't looked at the teams, but from the just from
that was funny.
Every time they pick, I say good pick. So
I haven't really looked, but I'd say so.
Stan Matthews says maybe we will get Donnie Edwards, and although I don't believe it will happen, we could still hope for Ty Law to come back. Speaking of O'Callaghan. he's listed as 344 in one guide, and maybe he will be more of a guard, but with the versatility of an experienced tackle, we can also still draft Will Durding at linebacker. Maybe Andy has heard of him by now. Have you heard of Will Durding yet?
No, what the hell does that mean?
What did you say?
If he's from Washington State, I've heard of him.
Okay.
Linebacker Will Durding?
Durting.
Durting.
D-E-R-T-I-N-G.
I don't like the way that email was.
I was so wrong.
Washington State, Will Durden.
Yeah, that's the guy I'm thinking of.
Grew up on cattle ranch.
Hey, who's got O'Callaghan, by the way?
Tremendous. Tore his ACL.
He's the guy from Cal.
Oh, who's
great.
Got him?
Huh?
Who's doing him?
Yeah, Will Durden blew out both knees. That's tremendous. Love it.
All right.
Multiple ACL tears. I'm glad I really should have heard of him.
Let's take a break. We've got another hour and a half to go here in PFW in progress. We'll be right back.
The defending Eastern Conference champion New England Revolution are back, and the Revs want you to be a part of the action when they open their 2006 home schedule. Sunday, April 30th, come see 2005 MVP Taylor Twellman.
Taylor Twellman!
Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, Clint Dempsey. And the rest of the Revolution as they take on the Chicago Fire. And all fans at Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 Revolution schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Free. And get to the stadium early and enjoy the interactive theme park soccer celebration. Free at every home match. Plus this season, parking is also free. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable day for the whole family. Tickets are just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. And get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. This is PFW in progress.
Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the inequities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother. And you will know my name is the Lord.
when I lay my fingers upon thee.
Paul Ferrillo.
Hamburger, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast. This is a tasty burger. I do love the taste of a great burger.
And Andy. And Andy?
Get it straight, Buster. I'm not here to say please. I'm here to tell you what to do. If I'm curt with you, it's because time is a factor. I think fast, I talk fast, and I need you guys to act fast if you want to get at this.
Andy Hartz.
So pretty please, with sugar on top. Clean the f***ing car.
Some guy named Tom.
You hear me talking, hillbilly boy? I ain't through with you by damn sight. I'm going to get medieval on your ass.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Oh, my piercing? 18 places on my body, every one of them done with a needle. 5 in each ear, 2 in my right nostril, 1 in my left eyebrow. One in my belly, one in my lip, and I wear a stud on my tongue.
PFW in progress.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better. You guys look like... What do they look like, Jimmy?
Dorks. They look like a couple of dorks.
All right, welcome to, back to PFW in progress. Brett Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, with you until 3 o'clock going over this 2006 draft for the Patriots. And so far, it's been, I'd say, an interesting draft. All offense, the kicker. So we'll see what happens. Now, the Patriots don't have another pick until the sixth round, in which they have, what, three?
Three. Two picks. Of which are compensatory that cannot be traded.
Right.
They have 4 picks left, 2 that they could trade. We'd like to ask all our listeners for our behalf to pray that they trade a couple of those picks in order to lighten the load.
8.
Let's see. A.D. Norman writes in from Oklahoma. Says, O'Callaghan, the guard that the Patriots just drafted, is a player that was a little confusing to grade thoroughly because he played tackle at California and will need to make the switch to guard to be effective in the NFL. He does a good job keeping his feet moving and staying after and finishing blocks. He has the size, strength, and long arms to be very effective blocking in a small area. His instincts and short area quickness help him to overcome his lack of athleticism. His lack of athleticism hinders his ability to adjust and block a moving target well. While he lacks the foot quickness and athleticism to be a good starting offensive tackle, he definitely has the physical tools to play guard in the NFL. Overall, O'Callaghan is big, strong, and will become a good offensive guard who does a solid yet unspectacular job. His lack of athleticism limits him to playing guard in the NFL.
I'm sorry, no disrespect, but this emailer is probably just reading a scouting report from somewhere because it's awful hard to tell how an offensive lineman is going to play, even from watching film. It's the one position I always say that unless you're a coach or a scout and you're really breaking these guys down, it's almost impossible for people like us to project offensive linemen.
Let's, after that scouting report, I'll read this Pro Football Weekly draft preview scouting report, positives, negatives. They list him as a tackle slash guard, 6'6 and 5'8, 344. Positives, has outstanding size and can control and remove defenders from the play once he gets a hold of them, can slide and sustain in short areas, and alter to pressure from all angles. Shows some strength to move defenders and leg drive. Will strike with force, able to sit and anchor and absorb pass rushers. Has played through injuries. Hi, Mark. Negatives, not a great worker. Lacks toughness. Shows very little musculature. With a flat chest. Oh, that's not what you're looking for. I'm kind of a boob man myself.
I didn't know you were looking for men with chests.
No, I like chest in general. Lumbers when he moves outside of small areas and cannot hit a moving target. That's a problem. Generally, the opposition moves.
Right.
Will struggle with NFL speed as he did at the Senior Bowl. Can play with better leverage. Is not functional in space. Durability needs to be considered. Oh, great. Although, in their positives, they said he's played through injuries.
Right.
And then in the negatives, his durability needs to be considered. Summary, big, soft, short area blocker who may be able to develop into a starter at right tackle. Not the athlete of former Cal offensive tackle Mark Wilson.
Did they use the word soft in there?
Yeah.
Big, soft.
I don't want that.
He's got a flat chest, Fred. He has no musculature. He doesn't
and
work.
He did
and he lacks toughness.
He did struggle badly at the Senior Bowl. I do remember
Maybe
that.
Maybe they'll have him in special teams.
He's a fifth-round pick. I mean, that's what he is. He's the guy they get. And, well, first of all, if he's soft and doesn't work and all that, he's gonna,
he won't
his
be
eyes
long.
Are going to be opened by Mr. Scarnecchia very quickly with a lot of vulgarities.
Dante's Inferno.
Yes, will burn his buttocks. But, no, he's the guy to put in the program. We talked about it the other day, not necessarily drafting top-end offensive line talent, but drafting some guys to get in the program to replace the guys they bump up, the Gorens, the Hochsteins, the Merchkowskis, kind of restock the lower-level offensive line development.
You know, I should mention, Fred, that Mr. Mangini has done a very good job of learning from Belichick and Pioli on day one, but perhaps Mangini wasn't around for day two because the Jets picks today just stunk.
Huh.
They took the backup tight end from Wisconsin in the fifth round.
Could argue that the Patriots' picks on the second day have stunk.
Well, I'm just saying, personally, I thought the Jets were a winner on day one and a loser on day two so far.
And what are the Patriots on day two so far?
We'll call it a wash right now.
I agree. You got your kicker. Mm-hmm. Your kicker of the future is in uniform. Right, Mark?
Zachy Jabbar.
Are we
going
to get Mark on the air here? He's a big-time
Mark
radio
Capella
guy.
From WBCN, who runs the WBCN pregame show.
Patriot Rock Radio Network.
That's right. And I wonder, are any changes in store for this year, Mark? Anything good? No, he's shaking his head.
More PFW? We could always use more PFW.
Yes. More PFW.
Extended segments.
That's right.
Okay.
I need some new boots, too.
More prizes, too.
I need new boots. My boots are wearing out already. I've been
really?
Putting those to the test.
Those are good boots.
They are very good boots, but I've been working them hard.
Are they still a sponsor? Can I mention their name?
I believe so, yes.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Wolverine. Great set of boots. Steel-toed. They're getting the job done. I've been doing a lot of wood, splitting wood.
Right.
Dropped a lot of logs that could have hurt my toes, but didn't right. because
Man.
I have steel-toed boots.
They said,
boots.
Andy, we can't pay you, but here's some shoes.
That's right. Yeah. I took them. Those are like $175 shoes.
Thank you.
Tim Dobbins
well,
off the board.
That's because you went in the catalog and you went by price.
Tim Dobbins went to San Diego, Fred, so there's a linebacker off the board.
That was a linebacker we really liked from Iowa State. He's off the board.
Tim Dobbins.
Unfortunately.
Right.
But there are still linebackers we like out there, and sooner or later the Patriots will choose to draft a defensive football player.
Dean P. sure hopes so.
We're talking about...
We got him duct taped down there right now. Shut up, Dean! We'll get to you.
Belichick choosing two positions at the same, you know, in a row in the draft.
Fred, what the hell is that?
Oh, leave them alone. The little kids are going to sing before the Revolution game. We're sitting over here overlooking Gillette Stadium, where today is the Revs' home opener at 3 o'clock.
Woo-hoo!
So that's an added bonus for us here covering the draft. We get to watch some exciting MLS action.
Isn't that an oxymoron, exciting MLS action?
Zachy Jabbar from Stanford says, just so you know, Tom was right. Mankins was drafted at 32, Hobbs was at 84, and Kasier was at 100. Do you think that the Patriots might have something up their sleeves in free agency with the lack of defensive players so far in the draft? Do you think the Pats will do any more trading?
Ty Law, up their sleeve.
That's what it looks like.
Ty Law, returning to New England.
Well, again, you know, you guys made fun of me when I
when you said before last season that he was coming back because Dexter Reed was wearing number 24.
You'll have to be more specific
about the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Besides the fact that I said Ty Law would come back here. Period.
Last season.
Period.
No, last season.
Period.
Last season.
I also said this year that don't be worried that they're not making a big splash in free agency because there's going to be other people available, whether it's trade or
Ty
free
Law's
agency.
Been available the whole time. You said people that would be available after June 1st.
Don't worry. No, I never
so you're
mentioned
wrong on both accounts.
I never mentioned the date, June 1st.
Yes, you did.
Never
yes,
mentioned
you did.
That date.
Yes, you did. Ty Law's been a free agent the entire
and
time.
And you've also never said a negative thing about the Patriots, so what
that's
you say
not true.
Really doesn't
that's
hold true. Water with us.
It's not true. Jeff from Hawaii says, hey, the tackle pick cut off my question right when Tom was addressing my thoughts
Bye,
on the new offensive-minded NFL. I wanted to hear what Tom had to say. Help me out, Fred.
All right,
I just
ahead,
did.
Tom.
What do you have to say about the fact that maybe the league is going all offense and that's why Belichick is drafting the way he is?
No, I thought that was a good email because Tom Brady's in the prime of his career. He showed last year that he can throw for Peyton Manning kind of yardage. You give him some weapons, you have a great offense, and I also thought he made a good point when he said Belichick can scheme. You know, he showed they won a Super Bowl with Earthwind Moreland at cornerback. So enough said about he can find a way to make the defense better like he did last year when they were struggling. So I think he made a good point in his email.
All right.
I think it is a good point, but I find it funny, though, that...
Cheesecake
you know,
out there yet?
Yes, it is.
It's already eaten.
Now that they have drafted all offensive players, you know, going into the draft, it was Belichick usually, you know, he focuses on defense in the draft, right, Fred?
He likes to
focus on
he
defense.
Doesn't
even
know. I mean,
even though I think
he
if you
two offensive line.
Yeah, even though if I think if you broke down his picks, you'd probably get a pretty even split because I don't think that he does just one thing of anything. But anyway, I think that it's funny now that he took all offensive guys. We can now say that what Belichick's trying to do is blah blah blah. You know, and I think that's a good point that the emailer made. I think you can scheme on defense when you have a great defensive mind like Belichick, and you need to get some weapons for Tom Brady. And they did.
All right,
Chuck. Fred, there's a big moment here in the draft. The Redskins are on the clock with only their second pick because they don't believe in the draft.
They believe in making everybody else draft guys, and then they just sign them.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that back when George Allen was the coach of the Redskins,
yeah,
they didn't have one rookie play start for them on defense.
No, that's, they called him the over-the-hill game,
yep.
Remember?
Yeah. Justin in Alaska says, the third tight end email, 35 out of 40 Super Bowl winners, was a joke. The bottom said, facts by ESPN as a joke. Hello? What?
Oh, well, Fred didn't read that part. I'm sorry. Fred didn't read that part of the email to us. Sorry about that.
Given Belichick's propensities for veteran linebackers, who in free agent market do you think the Patriots will target? Also, when are you guys going to do a webcam with your show? I'm sure there's a reason you're not on radio. You're on radio, not TV, but it would be fun to see.
We actually are on TV. Paul more so than the rest of us, but
hey, just because I'm more telegenic than you guys.
We don't
hate me because I'm beautiful.
We actually have our own weekly show.
We do.
We have a 0.7 rating, so the more of you want to watch it, we can get that sucker over one.
We get that over one, and then we'll be asking for more money.
You have to live on Morrissey Boulevard to be able to watch
it. I'm also wicked handsome. See?
Let's see.
There you go, Gary Jr.
Paul, actually, Sir says, which would you trade 6th and 7th pick for Anderson, the defensive end, or Oshinowo, the nose tackle?
I would take the nose tackle. I think he fits perfectly into the system.
Who would you take?
Oshinowo. I haven't mentioned. I cannot say that.
You called him the Stanford guy.
Actually, I would take Anderson because I can't spell the guy from Stanford, and I'd have to keep looking at it every time I wrote it on the web. So I'll go with the guy from Alabama just for that reason.
Okay. Paul, you know.
I'm at the point of the draft, Fred, where I'm not intelligently determining between one pick or the other here. I'm going by Tom Casale.
No, the guy.
I'm using Tom's board right now as my gauge.
Oshinowo would be a very good selection at this
Speaking
point.
Speaking of just flying off the handle, Andy Hart back.
With more food.
With more food.
It's only his seventh plate.
Let's see. Steven says, don't be so hard on Mills. At least Brady now has another target over 6 feet.
Can I just tell you that...
We're being hard on the pick, not on Mills.
Hector Longo of the Lawrence Eagle Tribune just really berated me and says, I'm just unbelievably positive. How can I be so positive about the Chad Jackson pick? And I'm just so overly positive. And that just flies in the face of the reputation I've tried to build for years around here.
Don't you just like the player?
Yeah, but he doesn't... He said, you could have had Javon Walker. I said, yeah, but I think Chad Jackson has the opportunity to be as good as Javon Walker and not pay him $25 million or whatever it's going to take to get Javon Walker.
Why could they have had Javon Walker?
Well, they could have traded for him if they wanted, in theory.
Right, and he wants a 6-year deal. The Broncos,
somebody else
right now,
wanted to trade for him, and they did.
I get my guy who I think can be as good or better, and I'm paying him limited money over the next 5 years.
Well, doesn't Hector, Hector kind of has a reputation to be a muckraker.
Just so you know, Hector got the first round pick right.
Yeah, Hector accurately predicted Lawrence Maroney in
did
the first
really?
Round.
He did.
We had Maroney going one pick after us to Denver.
Yeah.
Tony writes in, although Mike Mayock did go nuts over Thomas and said he'd catch 67 passes, it was Butch Davis who said he was another Jay Novacek, my mistake. So please don't get on Tom for stealing from Mike Mayock. He didn't, and therefore...
He stole from Butch Davis.
Therefore he stole from Butch Davis.
That would be very unfair. He stole from Butch Davis. You guys just stole the punchline from Tony.
Sorry.
All right.
We got to start letting Fred read the emails because we're being obnoxious.
That's okay.
That's what we do.
I'm sorry, but a white tight end... Is going to be
not Italian. Is it Mark Bavaro?
It's going to be compared to
Fasano is obviously Bavaro because he's Italian
sorry.
And went to Notre Dame.
I'm not the first person to compare one white guy to the other. Believe me.
Matt from Stevenage, UK, United Kingdom, says, I think the draft has been great, and I think we'll be back to our best next year. The fact we have not drafted defense.
Hold on, Fred. Andy, if you want an O'Callaghan conference call.
O'Callaghan conference call?
Suck up.
Yeah.
Okay, Andy has to go get the O'Callaghan conference call. Run, Andy, run.
Run, Faust.
The fact we haven't drafted defense suggests to me that you are correct, and Ty Law will be back, plus a veteran linebacker being lined up.
Yeah, so. And the other part of the whole defensive backfield thing is, like we've been saying all along here, once you got beyond the top flight prospects at corner, I wouldn't necessarily say I wanted another third, fourth, fifth right. round defensive back to come in, like I said, and compete with, you know, James Sanders and Gus Scott and,
no, they've got
and some of these young guys that are already here. Even Ellis Hobbs, you know, we already know they have a ton of young defensive backs, and they're trying to figure out which ones can play. I see no value to just add another one. Now, if you could have added, you know, a Cromartie or Ty Hill, Jonathan Joseph, whichever one of those guys you thought was the best, then sure, that's a potential number one cornerback, and you don't have to wait for him to see what he's going to be. Otherwise, I see, you know, they have a lot of players in the defensive back, but they just don't have a lot of top-flight shut down corner types.
Well, it'll be interesting to.
In fact, they don't have any.
You know, when this all plays out, when today plays out, and they sign their street free agents, to see how many they have on the roster. Because I think I don't know. They don't have as many exemptions from NFL Europe as they have in the past this year.
Yeah, they don't. How many do they have?
I think just like four.
How many guys in Europe do we have, Thomas?
So it'll be interesting to see how short
like
of 85 or so that
oh,
they are.
Oh, it's eight. No, Tom says we have eight guys eight? Over there, so that's about normal.
So they can have 88 guys at camp?
I believe that's the case.
So it'll be, you know, my thought is, you know, how many people will they actually have on the roster once they sign all these rookies? And, you know, what positions will they then fill, you know, those training camp positions? But who will they bring in? Will they bring in linebackers? Will they bring in defensive backs? Will they bring in, you know, wide receivers?
But hey, Fred, can I say something?
No.
I did the Patriots mock draft, and obviously, Paul, you know, a mock draft is just a guess.
Yeah.
And I
the
had
the guy you had in the Patriots.
No, I had Mike Haas going in the sixth round, and somebody wrote an email and told me to go screw myself because there was no way Mike Haas would last until the sixth round.
It was Mrs. Haas.
Well, we're almost in the sixth round, and Mike Haas hasn't been selected. So my point is, next year when we do stuff like this, it's just guessing. You don't have to take it so personally. Mike Haas apparently is still on the board. So
you know what I like about Tom. Tom has a better memory than me. I let every little thing bother me because I remember it. Tom blows me away.
Well, I can't believe people can get so personal over a mock draft.
No,
I mean,
you're absolutely
it's
right.
It's amazing.
Especially when, you know, Tom, was it on Friday you did that or Thursday?
Yeah, Friday.
You know, you're putting together a 7-round mock draft. Right?
I don't know
okay?
if it's going
to
be
an exercise in futility if ever there was one. There's a lot of guesses. Who knows who's going off the board? Who knows who's going to value what positions and where? And someone tells you to go screw yourself yeah. because you had a guy in the sixth round.
You know who it was? I think it was
Mike
that. Yeah, that's who it was. The guy that told us we'd do a terrible job at draft coverage.
Well, right now he's sitting at home going, hey, I was wrong. Jarek in Toronto, I like the guard pick in the fifth. He's a mountain of a man. I hope Brady can see over him.
He's a tackle, by the way.
Yeah, but he's projected as a guard.
At 344 pounds?
O'Callaghan.
Really?
He's slow.
Wow.
He's not good in space.
That's a big guard.
Linebackers are still a future concern for us. Would you agree we don't have much beyond the three quality starters, Bruschi, Vrabel, and Colvin? Do we have enough youth movement at linebacker?
No.
Not really.
No.
No.
And I'm not sold on any of the young guys on the roster and having the ability to step in and play defense, including Tully Bantakane.
And Ryan Claridge, we have no idea about.
No. He's basically a rookie again.
Have a little music? Are we going to a bro? What's that?
Well, I think they're.
Oh, that's outside.
Yeah, they're preparing. You know, the Revs game, Revs home opener today. Fred, I don't know if you heard. Revs home opener.
Look at the crowds already lining up, Paul.
They're preparing some of the pregame festivities, whatnot. Ayla Brown, American Idol, will be here singing "God Bless America."
Where is Andy? Did he go get
her
autograph?
There right now.
Yep, she's singing right now.
I think I see Andy down there getting her autograph.
Keith. From Mission Hill says, don't know if
that was
guys,
a little uncalled for there, Gary Jr.
Don't know if you guys have touched on this yet, but one of Maroney's better qualities that to this point I haven't heard much about is his ball security. According to
speaking
his
of ball security, Andy Hart.
According to his stats at ESPN.com, he did not fumble once in 05, and as they note in his profile, out of 660 carries, he only fumbled 7 times, recovering 3 of those. Great job, guys.
Somebody yeah, we tell this we did. Has been didn't make it idle to be quiet. We're trying to do a radio show.
We did mention yesterday about his ability that where he doesn't fumble. And he's got me
last
all flustered.
Game in Denver
had, is that Maroney?
Do you think that last yeah. game in Denver had any effect on ball security being a factor in Maroney over say Williams?
No, I think he just fits the system better.
Right.
Does Williams fumble?
I don't know.
Oh. I doubt it.
But Maroney's book doesn't.
No, I know that Maroney doesn't, but if Williams had two fumbles in that time, I certainly wouldn't think that ball security was an issue there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got to be honest with you. Bill Belichick is too smart to be drafting players because one guy fumbled three times and the other one didn't.
Right.
He's picking players that he likes the best.
For his system. His
because they don't fumble.
Ryan O'Callaghan update in the short conference call that was cut short by, I don't know, trouble with phones and stuff, and he couldn't hear us, we couldn't hear him.
A Mickey Mouse operation.
Then some idiot started singing. But he actually, interesting little plant from the PR department gave Mike Reese the heads up to ask about it. He was on the phone earlier today speaking with Aaron Rodgers about the free fall that he undertook last year because O'Callaghan, by some, thought, you know, he was going to go much higher than this.
Yeah.
He actually said he felt he was one of the best tackles in the draft, which is maybe a little questionable.
So he considers himself a tackle?
He's played everything but center, will do whatever they ask him to do, but has been primarily a right tackle in the past. So.
And how tall is he?
6'4"? 344, I know that.
I know he's 344, that's a huge guard.
He said he's comfortable playing at that weight. They haven't really spoken.
So I don't like the pick as much as if he's a guard. That's why I'm asking.
You got Kazier at left tackle. You got this guy at right tackle, and you move Light into guard.
Now this guy's not starting.
It's an awful lot of.
Then you got Neal and Copen.
It's an awful.
Sorry,
6'6" and 5'8".
6'6" and 5'8". I want this kid playing tackle. That's an awful lot of money, by the way, to pay a guard.
I don't think he's playing guard. 6'6".
6'6", 344. That's a tackle.
Yeah, sounds like a tackle.
And if he can't play tackle, he can't play tackle. What are you going to do? I think I think at that size, that's.
I think in the fifth round, that was a good value pick.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you guys are right about he had a chance to be a first day pick.
Well, yeah. Kuiper's had him number one as his best available for hours now. So.
And we'll have his eyes opened a little bit. Said he spoke for a while after he got called with Dante Scarnecchia. Sounds like a very nice man.
Wow.
That'll change when you're out there, softy. First time you don't show mobility, you're going to learn some new words.
Wow.
Matt from UK, I think the draft
is
great.
This is taped, isn't it?
And I think we'll be back to our best next year.
Good. This gives me time to rip Ayla Brown.
Why are you ripping her? What does she
do? Shut up, all of you.
What do you have against Ayla Brown?
I hate her.
Why? We don't like her.
I hate her.
Some people we just hate.
We just
for no
hate
reason.
For no reason.
Capiche?
Why don't you take her to the zoo, Ron?
From the first second I saw her, I disliked her, rooted against her. She couldn't get off the show fast enough.
I agree.
I can't wait for her 15 minutes to come to a close.
What is this? What is this? Amateur hour? Who's next? Kelly Pickler?
So far we've got a group of 4-year-olds and then a has-been didn't make it.
Tell you something. If Pickler or McPhee go down there, I'm out of the show. I'm going down to get a closer look.
You're a creep.
Yeah, I know, because I like good-looking that. Women. That's, you know, that makes me a creep.
Eric from Deerfield Beach, Florida. Great show. I posted on the OU message board about Mills, whom being from Tulsa, many OU fans saw him play. And Tulsa also played OU this year. Here's what a fan's opinion report was. Quote, all they have to do is watch the games this kid played, and he made things happen in every single game he played. He was the receiving leader in games against Oklahoma, Minnesota, and Fresno State. He is more than a tight end, and I don't recall seeing him line up as a true tight end very much. He was in motion, the backfield set wide, and the slot. He was everywhere, and the kid just never drops a pass. Put the kid in motion and let a linebacker try to guard him. If used properly, he will do very well.
I agree with that assessment.
I agree with absolutely everything that
I
just said.
Think you
I
could
love
say
it.
The
I
same thing about
pick.
Dave Thomas.
Yeah, and that, that's where I have a problem with the pick, is everything that was just said could have been said about David Thomas.
Exactly.
See, I have questions of what role he's going to fill at the NFL level. I don't know where he's going to be.
But don't you see where we have the problem with the pick? It's not the player. It's the fact that they selected the same player back-to-back.
We always have room for good players on our team.
All right. Well, yeah, we do. But
had room when they made the pick, too. They just didn't take one.
Jake from England. I don't think the Patriots will draft a defensive back till late in the draft because we already have Samuel, Gay, Hobbs, and Sanders, who are all fairly young and have talent. Also, I don't know what the Patriots are trying to do picking two tight ends this early in the draft. So.
I'll throw a name out there for you. Derek Martin from Wyoming was a guy I liked who's still on the board, maybe a possible six-round selection.
Are you sure that he's still on the board? I'm not saying that he's not, but I thought I saw his name up there, and it may have been best players available
I saw his name. I would think I would have remembered if I wrote him down.
Okay.
Maybe Maybe I'm wrong, but if he's still out there, that's a name I'm throwing out. If he's taken, I'm not throwing it out.
Dandy, by the way, you must have liked that last performance by Ayla Brown, because that was
short.
That was the song that she sang when she got Steffi X.
She had a bad day.
No, not that one. Natasha Bedingfield.
I like Jeff King to Carolina. I don't know if you guys mentioned that at all, but I liked his tape from...
Jeff King could play a pretty good third
Carolina's
base.
Had a good draft, too.
You like what they're doing down there?
Well, D'Angelo Williams at 27 is like robbery, so anything after that's gravy. Plus, they got Richard Marshall in the second round.
Favorite to be Super Bowl representative from the National Football Conference.
You like what they're doing?
Certainly not the Cowboys after their draft.
The debacle.
Well,
I had another Cowboys fan that I was talking to that thought that they had a solid draft.
Yeah, a lot of Cowboy fans are stupid, Paul.
Okay.
I'm just pointing that out.
I'd be excited if Kelly Clarkson was here. Isn't that who this is?
Yes.
Crap.
What, are we all idle all day here at, you know,
Patriots? Michael says, I'm late tuning in, but what is the Patriots, what's going on with the Patriots and tight ends? They don't even use all the ones they have.
That is a good point.
Fred told me that they use them all three a lot.
No, that is a good point, though. They have two tight ends. They barely use them. Now they added two more. So, that I like the point. Good point.
I like the point. Good point.
I like the point. Good point.
How's Mike Vrabel going to get his reps now?
All right.
Did you fall asleep in the middle of that one?
A.J. Nicholson.
I thought you guys were going to add a little bit more.
A.J. Nicholson has fallen into the bushes into Cincinnati.
That'd be good. Him and Odell Thurman ought to get along well. No?
That's interesting.
the Cincinnati Police Department has been all on alert.
And they got the other guy, too, who wears his jersey when he gets in trouble.
Oh,
the Cincinnati Police Department is on alert. Keep an eye out for those bushes.
All right, we're coming up to 2 o'clock here, the home stretch here in PFW in Progress Draft Edition. Got another hour to go. Let's take a break, and then we'll hit it down the home stretch.
The defending Eastern Conference champion New England Revolution are back, and the Revs want you to be a part of the action when they open their 2006 home schedule. Sunday, April 30th, come see 2005 MVP Taylor Twellman.
Taylor Twellman!
Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, Clint Dempsey.
Dempsey, let's go!
And the rest of the Revolution as they take on the Chicago Fire. And all fans at Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 Revolution schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Free. And get to the stadium early and enjoy the interactive theme park soccer celebration. Free at every home match. Plus, this season, parking is also free. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable day for the whole family. Tickets are just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. And get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. This is PFW in Progress.
Come on to the coast. We get together. Have a few laughs.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Is that him?
I am in charge of this situation.
Oh, you're in charge. Well, I got some bad news for you.
I'm not the one who just got butt on national TV.
Brian Morey.
I wanted this to be professional, efficient, adult, cooperative. Not a lot to ask. So he won't be joining us for the rest of his life.
Paul Perillo.
Roy, you all right?
Better fired than a 1,000-year-old twink. What do they put in these things, anyway?
Sugar-enriched flour, partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, polysorbate 60, and
yellow dye number 5.
And Andy. And Andy?
Mayday, mayday. Anyone copying Channel 9? Terrorists 6 or more armed with automatic weapons at Nakatomi Plaza.
This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
Andy Hart.
Lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Some guy named Tom.
Just another American who saw too many movies as a child. Another orphan of a bankrupt culture. This is John Wayne, Rambo, Marshall Dillon.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
PFW in Progress.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale. We're here until 3 o'clock talking about the Patriots picks, and right now we're getting to the bottom of the fifth round. Patriots have 3 picks in the sixth round, so it's going to be a very busy sixth round for the New England Patriots. Thus far, they've gone exclusively offense, with the exception of the kicker, by most accounts the best kicker available this year in the draft, Gostkowski out of Memphis, and the Patriots picked him in the fourth round. So the competition in camp will be between he and Martin Gramatica, and our bet is that Gostkowski will likely win that battle, and you go into the season with probably just he on the roster, and if he falls apart, I'm sure they'll tell Gramatica not to go far, and they'll re-sign him, and he'll be back on the team. But we're hoping that Gostkowski can fill the bill of a fourth-round pick, which is fairly high for a kicker. All right. Let's see. Email address. Let's give that out. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Got another hour. So if you want to chip in, give us your take on what the Patriots have been doing so far and what you think they should do with their remaining four picks. Phil from Austin says, just some random thoughts. Dave Thomas reminds me of a receiving tight end like the Cowboys and the Giants use. He's listed at 252, but plays a lot lighter than that. He's going to be really good near the end zone, was Vince Young's go-to guy in 2005. Garrett Mills baffles me. If your scouting department can get a guy like Kyle Echols as a free agent, I don't understand why you pick a guy like Mills in the fourth. I think the kicker pick is okay, based on the following rationale. The Patriots were probably not going to wait until the sixth to draft Gostkowski if they thought he was the best kicker in the draft, since their six-round picks are late. If they didn't think there was any guy they really wanted between numbers 118 and 136, then the cost of playing it safe and taking him at 118 was not unreasonable. The Maroney pick is more than a message to Dylan. Do you think some of the cap space the Patriots are banking might be to absorb the cap hit if they cut him? Well, I don't know, but...
I don't know if they're going to cut him, but he's on the way out.
They have a happy day in Perillo land.
It was interesting. Ron Borges had an article about Corey Dillon today in the Globe, and Bill Belichick revealed that, you know, he did call Dillon before they made the pick for Maroney just to kind of give him a what's up. And through a friend, I guess, Dillon says he's been working out with a personal trainer that he hired and...
Doing the Walter Payton training?
Yeah, he's serious about it. He feels that he's a little stronger.
Doesn't matter.
And why?
Because when you lose the step, you lose it. Eddie George was in the best physical condition of any human being alive when he played for the Cowboys and at the end of his career with Tennessee. When you're a big back who's played a decade in this league and you take the physical pounding that Corey Dillon takes, you lose it after a while. There's no shame in that. It happens to everybody. He's going to be 32. I mean, he's not Emmitt Smith. He's not that little back who got... He's not Barry Sanders. He's not Curtis Martin. He's not those guys that avoided contact. He's a big, bruising back, and after a while, those hits start to take their toll. There's no shame in that at all. It's just that's the way the NFL is. The Patriots see it, and that's why they brought Lawrence Maroney on board.
You know what else, Fred? He reported, and you can attest to this because you really were excited about it. He reported last year in the best shape of his career. He looked dynamite physically.
Right. And then he got
high ankle sprain. I think he looked a little doughy, to be honest with you, his first year here. And he went out and ran for 1,600-plus yards. So let's not just say he's going to go out and do the, you know, this off-season program and then magically regain anything that he may have lost. Now, maybe Tom and I are wrong, and he didn't lose it. It was a high ankle sprain. He never really shook it and whatever. But I think that the age... and the circumstances of everything Tom just said about him being a bigger back and playing a decade and taking all those hits, I think that he is, you know, I have no doubt that he can run for 1,000 yards. I just don't think his days of being a dynamic 1,600-plus, you know, 20-touchdown guy, I don't think that's going to happen.
Mark Anderson, the defensive end from Alabama, just got picked by Chicago.
So he's off the board.
With 159.
And picks. Just another thing about your workout there, Fred. You know how many people can do the workout that Jerry Rice still does today? Maybe 10 in the world. But he can't play football anymore because, you know, he's lost his that burst that he once had. So just because you run up hills doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to rush for 1,500 yards again.
All right. Well, I mean, I don't think... See, the beauty of this thing is obviously Maroney's got to be the draft of the future. But now you've got both of them. So you don't need Corey Dillon to
exactly.
run 1,500 yards.
He can rush for the 800 to 1,000 yards, get his 10 to 12 touchdowns. Maroney can chip in with 500, 600 yards, get a couple of long runs there. you're right. That's what I think the Patriots are envisioning.
I mean, obviously,
whatever that word is.
You know, Corey Dillon is a completely different kind of running back than Marshall Faulk, but it's kind of the situation where you have Steven Jackson, you still have Marshall Faulk, but, you know, Steven Jackson, you work him in, you have more and more. And now, in St. Louis, I would say that Steven Jackson is your main running back.
Right, and Fred, you actually made a good point. I keep hearing that running backs can't, their careers can't end overnight. Marshall Faulk did. He was a phenomenal back, and all of a sudden he fell off the map. Eddie Georges did. So don't say that it just ends, like there's this gradual decline, because that's not true in everybody's case.
What about
but Corey Dillon's actually working out again this offseason, hoping
we just talked about that.
Okay. Yeah. Also, and Steve Goskowski's baseball career is over. Not really a prospect, and really know why, but the coach said take the rest of the season off.
And I think Bill Belichick told him it was over.
That may be. He pitched like a week ago, and he's done.
All right. Doug says, is there a player out there at this point in the draft that might be a reach, but you'd like to see him in camp regardless of need?
Oliver Hoyt.
Maybe even a guy with a pass that dropped him down the board.
I think a lot of those guys have been drafted now. You know,
Fred's guy,
yeah,
right?
Marcus Vick is the last guy you're talking about, but he's got so many problems. I don't think a team will touch him with a 10-foot pole. I'd be shocked if he was drafted.
Broncos are coming up, aren't they?
Well, this ought to be interesting.
Jacksonville's on the board right now.
And then the Broncos, so they could take him.
Yeah.
Hey, there's my boy. I like him.
Besides the Patriots, does anyone have the other team's picks? I'd like to get your opinion on who do you think did the best so far.
I think the Eagles, Carolina, have done very well. The Eagles have gotten a bunch of good players that can come in right away and help that team. And all of a sudden, they went from that team that you projected last in the NFC East to a team that you got to worry about again, because they still have talent. You know, McNabb got hurt last year. If they can run the football a little bit better this season, I think they got a shot. Carolina.
The Jets
had a good first day, I thought. The second day's kind of leveled off a little bit.
How about Arizona?
I loved Arizona's draft. I think they did very well. And I like what St. Louis did. You know, they got Ty Hill. They went out and got two tight ends, which I thought was smart, because they only had Mauli Maliuna on the roster, and he's not really a pass-catching tight end, and Martz never used tight ends. They got Dominic Byrd and Kloppenstein, two guys that I know Linehan will use there. So I like what the Rams did as well. In the AFC East, I like the Jets' first day. Other than that, I think the drafts have been trash. I don't think any team has a remote chance of beating the Patriots. I think the Patriots are in the playoffs. It's just a matter of if we're staying here or if we're traveling.
Miami, how many picks did they end up with so far?
Right now, they've only had three. They've had Jason Allen, Derek Hagan, and Joe Toledo, offensive tackle. I didn't like the Hagan pick because Demetrius Williams from Oregon was still on the board. It's not an awful pick. I thought they reached for Jason Allen. Joe Toledo, I'm not going to pretend to know that much about, but they do need help at offensive tackle, so it probably wasn't a terrible pick.
Ben Fuller writes, and greetings from Namibia. Namibia.
I've heard of that.
Current residents of Rangelina and their kids. I don't know what that means.
I know Africa, but where?
He says, first day picks are solid. Like the O'Callaghan pick a lot. He'll probably do well for us in a year or so. Probably needs to learn Dante's vocabulary. I can't figure out the Mills pick unless they want him as a fullback. If so, he'd be another project we might see in a year or so. Maybe they project him as a replacement for our fullback by committee of Klecko, Seymour, and Ashworth. Any thoughts?
Well, Klecko won't be here. I mean,
and Ashworth isn't here.
And so
and Seymour is never going to play fullback again if Belichick's right. I mean, smart.
I'm wondering if there's something to Daniel Graham that we don't know. Now, if that's the case, Brent Hawkins went to Jacksonville, my boy, with the defensive end. So he's off. But I'm wondering if there's more to Daniel Graham that we don't know about, because then now all of a sudden it makes sense, because as we said, as far as a player goes, we like Garrett Mills. We just don't understand the thinking of selecting two tight ends back-to-back.
The thing about Graham is that shoulder. Doesn't he have a shoulder injury?
Two bad shoulders. He's had surgery on both.
So, you know, maybe that's a factor.
And if it is, then the pick makes more sense.
Let's see. John writes in, don't be surprised if Graham asked to be the future left tackle. I doubt you all will like the idea, but it's the trend for bigger and faster people is that left tackle.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Well, you were right that we wouldn't like the idea, though.
I think the Pats will pick up another center in round
seven. What is Graham weigh, 250? 260?
260, I think.
That would be a tiny tackle, not bigger.
Approximately 100 pounds less than the guy you just drafted.
Let's see. He thinks that they'll pick a center in round 7 and a defensive lineman or maybe a linebacker in round 6. We signed Ty Law, a veteran linebacker, or draft a future linebacker we all want this summer.
Well, you're getting so late. Any linebacker you draft now is...
Now you're just...
He's
yeah.
What's his name? Ryan Claridge. He's, you know, a guy to develop, maybe play down the line. You're not... I was initially looking at a guy that maybe could contribute this year. Not necessarily start, maybe Beisel starts, but a guy, you know, if you draft a Bobby Carpenter, I'm expecting him to contribute this year.
You know, I know you don't watch Seinfeld, so I'll direct this to Paul.
Okay.
You know who Oliver Hoyt reminds me of? Remember when Jerry dates that girl that's perfect, and he can't figure out why people don't want him to date her because he can't find anything wrong with her?
Yeah.
That's what I feel about Oliver Hoyt. I can't find a darn thing wrong with this guy, yet nobody wants to draft him. Nobody talks about him. It's weird. It's like it's that perfect player, but there's got to be something that we're not seeing because it's almost the sixth round and no one's touched him. I just don't get it.
Indianapolis is on the clock in the fifth round, number 162.
Oh, their draft stinks.
Oh, you didn't like their draft?
Nah, I can't stand it.
We don't like Joseph Addai, so right off the top.
Even their other picks,
boy,
I didn't like.
That was strictly a need, huh? I mean, you know, they, by hook or by crook, they were going to get a running back in that first round.
Chris Cooper, North Dakota, drafted by Denver. Height, not available. Weight, not available. And you can't click on him to find any more information.
Sounds like a player.
Mike from Northeastern writing in.
Hey Mike.
RawDog.com, now available.
DieHardDogs.com.
You're already Paul, one of Paul's favorite emailers, but he says, I don't claim to be a draft expert, neither does Paul, or anything, but I noticed
unlike
you guys
Andy.
Kept mentioning Garrett Mills as a tight end. I'm looking at ESPN's draft guide, the one with Reggie Bush on the cover, and it has Mills listed as the number one fullback, and he's not even listed at all in the tight end section. I'm confused.
We're going to say this one more time, and then I just can't say it anymore. He's an H-back in the Chris Cooley mold, meaning he lines up in the backfield a lot. They put him in motion, just like the emailer said, where the guy from Oklahoma, his scouting report on him was exactly right. He's always moving around in motion. That's why they list him as a fullback, but he's not very good at blocking. He's a receiving guy, just like Cooley. Cooley blocks a little bit, but he doesn't do a lot of it. So what you're looking at Mills is someone who's going to move around a lot and catch a lot of passes. He's not going to be a blocker.
Just like Larry Centers, who they compare him to, who was a fullback and didn't block.
Right.
And Michael says, I love the picks, especially the Chad Jackson one, and I don't mind the kicker in the fourth. He'll be better than Adam Papagino's Vinatieri.
Oh, boy. How we've turned.
When he hits that kick in the snow, then we'll say so.
I like the pick of the kicker because, like we've said all along, if they felt like that was the best kicker and that was the one they were interested in, you take him when you can, you know, when you think you can get him. And if you're not sure you can get him in the fifth or the sixth, you take him in the fourth. You know, it might be a little bit early in terms of the round, but if that's the guy that they liked, you get him, and it filled a need.
I mean, I haven't heard anyone really criticize that pick.
Nope.
You know, and I like it. I'm sure it killed them to have to take a kicker then, but they.
Well, I'm really surprised just to hear you talk so positively about it.
Well, you know, I'm not always negative, Paul.
That's true. I'm just really surprised. It's refreshing, actually.
Fred, it would be great if out of the 10 picks they had, you just didn't like one of them. Just make one up in like the sixth or seventh round. Just say you don't like it, just so we can hear you say it.
Okay. Jarek in Toronto, regarding our divisional opponents, has any team impressed you in free agency or significantly fared better than the Pats? Similarly, in the draft, which divisional opponent's pick would appear that they are gaining ground on us?
No one.
It's definitively stated.
There will be a Tom Casale report on the AFC East.
Yeah.
In the post-draft issue, which will hit newsstands when? A week from Wednesday, Fred, I believe?
I think
one of these three teams, every star in the world would have to align for them to compete with the Patriots this year. I think some of them are going in the right direction. I think Miami will be tough in 07. I think the Jets could be improved. Buffalo has no idea what they're doing. But as far as 2006 goes, I think that's the Patriots division, hands down.
It's a horrible, horrible division.
Yeah.
And the Patriots are the only quality team in it. right now.
You don't think Miami's going to...
Not this year. No. They still need help on defense. Saban was limited in this draft by what those idiots before him did, so he really didn't have a lot of picks. So that's why I think next year they'll have more draft picks, they'll have more money in free agency, and that's why they'll make the jump in 2007, not 06.
I just didn't think Miami was as good as their record was last year. I didn't think the talent that I was watching was
right.
All that
I think Saban is a good coach, and I think he can get more out of less talent.
It's a team that went into Cleveland and got absolutely blitzed. I mean, Cleveland. They got shut out. I mean, that's not that good of a team, Miami.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Dave writes in, he also noticed that Garrett Mills is listed at different positions, among them fullback.
That is correct.
And do you think that...
I thought I'd save you on that one, Tom.
Do you think that's why we drafted him to be a fullback?
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it means.
I think that they drafted a good player. Not sure that they drafted a spot that they really needed to fill in the fourth round.
Okay. Let's see. Ben writes in. He's a longtime fan, loves the work we do.
Ben.
And he loves the fact that you call out people for being jerks when they write in.
Good.
About this year.
Not everybody loves it when we do that.
Yeah, well,
careful, Ben. Yeah, we haven't heard your email yet.
I was going to say.
About this year's draft, I mean, I like the players they got. It's not a matter of not liking their drafted players, but I'm just not following what they're doing. This draft cries out as a knee draft and not a best player draft. Best player drafts are when you really have no glaring holes anywhere, but this is not one of those years for the Pats. Are we underrating the players they already do have on defense, or are Belichick and company overrating what they have?
Yes.
Which one?
They're overrating what they have.
No, I don't think so. I think that they're saying that the guys that are available in the draft aren't going to be much better.
Okay.
So let's just take the best guy.
Well,
I think I just this don't understand how that helps you.
See, when what I disagree with a little bit is this whole need versus value thing. I think this same exact draft with the same exact people available may have unfolded differently had different guys been available
right.
when the Patriots were on the board at the top of the draft.
Right.
I think they felt like the running back and the wide receiver were value picks, not because they filled they specifically felt they were just needs. Now, it so turns out that one of them filled a huge need, and the other one, I think, running back. Was a significant one anyway, not as big as wide receiver. But I think very easily you could have had a situation where Maroney was off the board, or even if Maroney was up there and, say, one of the linebackers, or Ty Hill and Bobby Carpenter were available, maybe they would have taken one of those guys. I don't know. Maybe they had no interest in them at all, and they still would have taken Maroney. But I think it's easy to look back and say, well, obviously they felt confident with the defense and comfortable. I don't think that Bill's saying that by not taking any defensive players. I just think that that's the way it worked out. He felt like, based on what was available in those clusters, he went with the guys he felt were better.
I would agree with that.
Omar Jacobs to Pittsburgh. And Dave,
did they corner the market on that player?
And David Kirtman, Tom Casale's top-rated fullback, went to USC, went to Seattle the pick before. Now, he's a real fullback. That's the difference. He's a guy who's going to come in there, he's going to block for you, he's going to be a Moose Johnson type.
So I don't want any part of them.
Right. That's he's a fullback type guy.
I think those guys' days in the NFL are over.
I think
it's
if you're
good, the league these days.
If you're good enough...
Yeah, I know, it's really struggling.
I think if you're good enough at that position, you'll have a job. But, there's not a lot of guys coming out of college that are, true fullbacks. They don't need them.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Fred, where have you gone, Corey
Schlesinger? those were the days.
They were showing trades up here before that pick, and it said that the Eagles had traded Hollis Thomas to the Vikings. Then it said the Chargers came up there, and it said the Chargers trade, and then the pick came up, but I didn't catch it. I wonder if it was Donnie Edwards. Mm-hmm. If anyone knows, email in.
Traded Donnie Edwards to the Patriots for Bethel Johnson.
I have no interest in Donnie Edwards.
Why not?
I do.
Age, size, fit.
But something must have happened because they had the Chargers up there. I just didn't see what
I like Donnie Edwards, Fred, and I think he would be a good player with Bill Belichick coaching him. He does a lot of different things well.
Okay. Paul has spoken.
No, it doesn't mean I'm right. I'm just giving you my opinion.
Where are we at fifth?
We're at the compensatory picks. We're at the end.
We're Green Bay's on the board. Pittsburgh just picked Omar Jacobs. So we've got five more picks left in the fifth round. Green Bay, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Philly, and then Tennessee has that last pick. Any news? Has anybody checked out ProFootballTalk.com? Any late gossip going around?
I can take a look, Fred.
Okay. Just to remind everyone, coming up in the sixth round, let's see what the Patriots have going in the sixth round. They will be picking. Their first pick comes
191,
which is the 22nd pick of the sixth round. Then they have the 36th and 37th pick, compensatory pick. So they have three picks coming up in the sixth round. So I know Paul's hoping they package those up.
Well, we can't. We're dead.
Oh, that's right. The two of them, you can't.
We're pretty much resigning ourselves to the fact that we're taking 10 guys.
Well,
we're porked.
We'll see what happens.
Unless they trade their 6th and 7th to move up in the 6th.
Who's this red team out here?
We're on the radio, Andy, so people don't know what you're referring to.
I said, who's this red team out here on the field in front of me?
Out where?
On the frickin' football field in front of me.
You're overlooking Gillette Stadium Field. It's the home opener of the New England Revolution.
Sooner or later you'll get to the answer to my question. Who's the red team?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll read.
You don't know who they're playing?
I'll read Chicago the T's on the front page.
Fire.
Fred?
Yes.
Pro Football Talk, I'll just read their little tease, the rumor mill. USC safety slides to new position after sliding to round 4. Kudos to Tom. Eagles finally trade Thomas. Selection of Doomerville surely means that Coach Kevlar won't take a chance on this year's Moklo. Kevlar is Shanahan, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Pete, ready to get out? Lights out guarantees Super Bowl appearance. Pats burn a 4 on no-name kicker.
No stop.
Yep. Detroit complains about mess that it created. Veteran lineman heads to Mini. New Rams defensive tackle will fit right in. Lendale didn't test positive at the combine. Trojans have lost plenty without losing a single game.
So they're moving Bing to linebacker.
So we're going to look
linebacker?
At the...
Linebacker?
That's what it says. Bing moving to linebacker.
We're going to look at the... I'll read some of
now
those.
Now you like him.
No. I think it'll be even worse there.
That's disrespectful to every guy on that list to mention Omar Jacobs with him. Disrespectful. Omar Jacobs can't throw.
Belichick, crazy like a fox. That's, again, it says.
What? By taking a
New England Patriots burned a 4th-round pick on Memphis kicker Steve Goskowski. Who? Exactly. The 4th round is high to take any kicker this year. For Goskowski, going off the board in round 4 is even more of a stretch, given that ESPN's Mel Kiper didn't even include him among his 5 highest-rated kicking prospects.
Thank you, Fred, when I said we targeted a guy that wasn't necessarily the consensus top kicker.
Our take, Pats coach Bill Belichick and VP of player personnel Scott Pioli have 8 Super Bowl rings between them. Mel has as many as we do, so we'll give the Patriots the benefit of the doubt on this one.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Mike Florio.
He's sipping the frickin' Kool-Aid.
Obviously, he's carrying the team's water.
Unbelievable. Well, all I'm saying is PFW was able to say he was the best kicker as well.
So he's also carrying your water.
Raiders moving Bim to linebacker. Adam Schefter reports that the Raiders will move 4th-round selection Darnell Bing from safety to backer.
That's how good he is at safety.
Like most of the USC colleagues, ending up sliding in the draft is considered a little slow to be a safety, but he'll be regarded as fast for a linebacker. He's definitely got the size to make it work.
So this guy was such a bad safety, they wanted to move him to running back and linebacker.
Okay, the Eagles trade. After weeks of dangling defensive tackle Hollis Thomas, the Eagles finally have swung a deal, sending him to the Saints in exchange for a flip-flop of 4th-round picks. With the higher spot in round 4, the Eagles drafted gigantic Georgia guard Max Gene Gillis. Gillis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hollis is entering the final year of the base. Blah, blah, blah.
Hollis! Okay.
All right, I'm not going to read the rest of the website, but there's a couple of the headlines.
So he wants to rip the Patriots pick, but doesn't.
He does write that, although we're holding out hope that the Broncos would throw a second-day pick on Virginia Tech quarterback Marcus Vick.
All right. Very good. Thank you for that update, Paul.
Web You're running out of gas up there?
Web radio.
Oh, wait, this is one more item of interest here. In the wake of arguably the worst 7-day stretch that any elite college football program has ever endured, there are already rumors wiggling along the NFL grapevine regarding a possible return by USC coach Pete Carroll to the program in 2007. As the rumor goes, Carroll has concluded that he has little or no control over the kids and the team beyond the white lines.
And you think you're going to control professionals? You can't
control kids. He had no control of pros either. The problem is that Carroll's star has been tarnished, in parentheses, in our view, by the recent string of embarrassing episodes involving Reggie Bush, Winston Justice, Lendale White, Mark Sanchez, and Dwayne Jarrett. Although Carroll will be likely in the mix for any vacancies that arise in after the 2006 season,
Cowboys.
He might not be the top-of-the-list no-brainer candidate that he was in 2005, and he also likely won't be in a position to dictate the terms of his arrival, such as full control over personnel decisions and a front office job for longtime pal Pat Kerwin. Prime candidates for Carroll's services could be the Chargers, Cowboys, and Ravens.
I think that would work out good, though. Pete Carroll and Terrell Owens? I see no problems there.
Yeah, I also see no problem with Pete Carroll succeeding for Bill Parcells again.
I'm sure he can keep T.O. under control.
Let's see. Jeff says, could you guys talk a little bit about Matt Cassel? Tom Brady is bound to miss some games sooner or later, and is this guy going to be number two this year? Do we have the secret USC quarterback that nobody is paying attention to? Anybody?
Well, I think he'll battle for the number two position, depending on whether Flutie comes back. I'm sure they'll bring a veteran into camp, and there'll be a battle. If Brady, let's be honest, it all depends on what happens to Tom Brady. If he's going to be out for 2 weeks, that's one thing. Tom Brady's going to be out for the year. We start looking ahead to the next season. That's just the way it is. The Colts are the same way with Peyton Manning. Those players are too valuable to their football team, and you can't lose Tom Brady for a season and expect to win the Super Bowl. It's unrealistic. So Cassel would probably come in that situation, get some valuable playing time, and then we can see what he's made of.
Ryan from Lowell, Mass. Love listening to the show, but just wanted to let you know a few things. If you watch the NFL's draft tracker, it updates regularly with each pick. I'm finding the height, weight, and all other information about the picks on the website before you seem to be. I hit the refresh button, and bam, there's the newest pick added to the site.
I'm doing the same thing.
I just think you guys seem to be behind a bit. For example,
due to the latency of the internet.
When you said that you couldn't find the height or weight on Indy's pick at 162, I was staring right at all the information about this guy.
Who was it?
Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Hopefully you keep you guys up to date. Nice job with the show.
It's Michael Taduzu. No, we never said that. We just said the Indy's draft stunk.
Chris Cooper, when he went to Denver initially,
right?
They had not available.
That is correct.
Because they don't have these guys queued up and ready to go because they're not high-level prospects.
They did the same thing with Brent Hawkins.
Well, just so Ryan knows, what he's hearing is actually about 5 minutes after we said it because he's listening to us over the internet, and there is that latency issue when you're streaming, so we are a little bit behind because you're hearing us in the past. Ben, didn't get to listen to you yesterday, but didn't we get a few karma points for taking Maroney? A lot of the mock drafts I saw had the Colts taking him. Instead, we forced them to take Adai, who seems like a bit of a reach for the first round.
Yeah, I think he's a bit of a reach for the first down. I don't know or care about karma points. They just didn't get as good a player as maybe they could.
Well, I think what he's saying is because they took Adam Vinatieri.
Right, well, Carolina had to play into this, too. Carolina had to take D'Angelo Williams.
On the TV.
No, but the other thing that I'm talking about
Fred,
is...
Fred, we're on the radio. Fans
Eric
can't see that.
Good call, Andy. But, I think what the point is to the emailer, if the Patriots didn't want Lawrence Maroney,
they were gonna
then what good is the karma of making Indianapolis get a lesser running back?
He
that doesn't
available.
Do any good.
The fact that he was available.
Bill Belichick doesn't coach that
Bill
way.
Bill Belichick
you know he
took
doesn't.
Him because he likes him. He thinks he's a good player. It had nothing to do with, I'll show Indianapolis. They took Adam Vinatieri. I'll take Lawrence Maroney.
What if somebody else had taken Lawrence Maroney before us?
What?
We wouldn't have taken
Lawrence Maroney.
That's right, but we were able to take him.
I don't.
Understand. What are you talking about?
I just
about?
Don't understand you sometimes.
I
don't.
No,
understand.
We don't know. So explain.
Maybe they were looking at Chad Jackson because they didn't think Maroney was going to be available. Maroney's available, and hey, that's great. We'll take Maroney.
But what does that have to do with the Colts?
A little good karma. Maybe we got a little good luck for what happened to us with Vinatieri going
to
the Colts.
Karma
isn't real. Thanks. It's just
So then, why are we talking about it if it's not real?
Justin in Alaska, not to be presumptuous, but I'm going to pencil in Brady as a starter. So who do you see as our number two? I'm assuming Cassel.
Jay Fiedler.
Who is going to be added to the roster?
Don't open up that can of worms.
Is Doug Flutie coming back?
Jay Fiedler I'm staying with. Although I need to look up his health issues. I think I said that last time.
Do you think the Patriots pick a quarterback with one of their last picks?
It's always a possibility, and with all these extra picks they have, screwing PFW and making extra work for us, there's a chance.
Tommy Maddox on a team?
Yeah. No. I think he is on a team.
No, I thought he was going into broadcasting.
I wouldn't be opposed to a quarterback with one of these other picks.
I heard he was going into broadcasting, Tommy Maddox.
I have no interest in Tommy Maddox.
As a broadcaster?
Or as a player.
Really?
Yeah.
I really have no interest with a quarterback with one of these other picks. You already got a developmental guy in Castle. I don't know what you're going to do with a guy in the seventh round.
Well, you got to bring somebody into camp. You need four quarterbacks.
Well, I'm sure they'll bring him into camp. Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason I like it, Tom, is because I think it's a very tradable, marketable piece of
I know, I'm not sure if it, who's left here. Where'd Brody Croyle go?
Eric Meyer.
Now that's Paul's boy. Eastern Washington or whatever?
Yep.
Division?
Someone email me in and tell me where Brody Croyle went, because I forgot.
I believe he went in the third round, did he not?
Yeah. Eric Mangini.
Oh, yeah, Kansas City. What a terrible pick.
Let's see, Chris in Tampa Bay. Tell me about Nick Saban. Isn't he on top of his game? Why did Miami pass up on the 16th pick in the fifth round? Did they just run out of time on the clock? Or
no, it was a compensatory. They used it in the, it was the, whatchamacallit draft, supplemental draft pick. They used that on last year, remember?
Manny
with the guy
Wright? Manny Wright out of USC.
Yeah.
The guy he made cry.
Yeah,
right?
The guy he made cry. That's why they didn't pick in the fifth round.
Okay. They are not going to be in as good a shape as some spectators think. I think losing Ricky will hurt. Missing a quarterback in the first month will hurt. And losing a fifth-round pick doesn't help.
They didn't lose him. They decided last year they wanted that player.
The only team to worry about in our division is the Jets with an improved offensive line and a possibly healthy quarterback. We could have a rival again in division.
No chance.
But we still get the best of them.
Jets have the worst roster in football.
You think it's that bad?
Yep.
I think the only team with a chance would be the Bills if, 800 things went right for them and just, I don't know. I really don't have an argument for you. But
I think the Dolphins are the only team with a chance, and that would be a miraculous, all of a sudden Dante Culpepper's ready week one and can play the whole year.
And plays out of his mind.
Well, plays at a high level. Not out of his mind. He doesn't have to play as well, I don't think, as he did a couple of years ago.
All right, Houston's on the clock on the sixth
Wally
round,
Lundy.
Number 170.
That's your boy, Wally.
Yep. Nice pick.
I like Wally Lundy.
I do,
especially
too.
He's getting him down here.
I just, we're round six here. Who was the last pick in round five?
Tennessee, compensatory to selection? I don't know, it doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
I'll update it so that listener doesn't really yell at me because he knows more than me.
Yeah, but I update it every 3 seconds and it's not doing it.
Houston Texans are on the clock. Top of the sixth round, number 170. Patriots have three picks in this round, starting with the 22nd.
And Houston got their substitution for Reggie Bush, Wally Lundy.
Wally Lundy.
Same.
Yeah, once in a generation.
He can catch the ball. He can return kicks. Virtually the same player.
By the way, Bo came out in 84, right? No.
86, wasn't it?
86.
Why? What do you want to know?
Whether I'm offended or not when they said Reggie Bush is the best running back prospect in the last 20 years.
Okay, I'll look it up for you.
Jesse Mahaloney.
I got it.
You don't have to yell at me. I was trying to help you out. Jeez.
All right, round six. Let's do it. Our boy Oliver Hoyt is still on the board. Let's go, baby.
Why do I think he's going to be one of those target undrafted free agents?
Doug says, after the kicker pick, I read a review of him, and they said he had a lack of leg strength.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I think
it's funny. I did read a review that said that, but that's wrong.
I think
it was ESPN, but don't quote me. I thought he was a mule on steroids.
What
have you seen on this guy? Actual game footage.
Just a little bit.
I've seen a couple of... I saw him play either Mississippi State or somebody where I think it was like 10-10, and he hit a 54-yarder. That put him ahead 13-10. The thing would have been good from 70. And
he looked at his friend and said that. That thing would have been good from 70.
And the people who saw those skills competition, he was bombing them from like 55. Those things would have been good from 70. So the lack of leg strength, that's just a bad scouting report. I'm sure there's some negatives you can find about this guy, but that's not one of them.
He doesn't train with the team. Remember, that was the negative.
Well, I will certainly give everyone a full scouting report come training camp.
You are our resident expert kicker.
This guy knows everything about kickers, Fred Kirsch, from what I've told.
Confidence. Touchbacks on his kickoff. He was booming him through the end zone in the video I watched. He was the best kicker I saw. No questions asked.
Me too.
And he didn't have any quirky motion. The guy from Ohio State had a weird double hop after.
Although, to be honest, Oliver Hoyt was the best middle linebacker we saw, and apparently he wasn't the best middle linebacker anybody else saw.
Andy, Bo Jackson, number one overall, 1986.
So it was right on the cusp.
20th draft since then?
Hey, Tony Casillas, number two pick. John,
that's tremendous.
Look at that awful draft. Sweet Jesus. My God. You've never seen as many busts.
Here we go. You ready? Just for giggles,
this is funny.
Bo Jackson, number one to the Bucks, never went to Tampa Bay. Tony Casillas
was a
serviceable player.
For the Cowboys.
Not worthy of the
he
number two overall
pick. He was a
backup
for Dallas.
Number three, Jim Everett went to the Oilers. Did not know that.
I didn't either.
Number four, John Hand, dime a dozen defensive lineman. Number five, Anthony Bell, linebacker from Michigan State to the Cardinals. Never heard of him. That's why they're the Cardinals. Number six, Jim Dombrowski, tackle to the Saints from Virginia. Never heard of him. That's why they're the Saints. Number seven, Brian Joswiak, tackle from West Virginia to the Chiefs. I have more respect for the Chiefs organization, but never heard of him. Number eight, Leslie O'Neill, defensive end to the Chargers out of Oklahoma State. Not a bad pick.
Right.
Number nine, John Renstra, guard from out of Temple to Pittsburgh.
From Temple.
Never heard of him, and you took a guard with the ninth pick.
From Temple.
Number ten, Keith Byers to the Eagles. Not worthy of the tenth pick,
right,
but a good solid
productive
pro.
Career.
Jim Kelly, 11.
No, Joe Kelly.
I mean, sorry, Joe Kelly, 11.
It was a better pick than Jim Kelly.
No, I was like, you know what I was immediately thinking? Jeez, I always thought Jim Kelly was in the quarterback draft of 83. Chuck Long, after that, bust. James Fitzpatrick,
look at this first round.
Gerald Robinson, John L. Williams is the next guy that I heard of at 15. Ronnie Harmon, dime a dozen, third down back for Buffalo. Tim Green is the guy that's on Fox now, right?
Yep. Yeah,
Mike Sherrod, linebacker. Mike Sherrod broke his leg 27 times. Eric Dorsey, backup defensive lineman for the Giants. Will Wolford for the Bills was a good pick. Tim McGee for the Bengals, always hurt. Mike Haight to the Jets.
Why
you gonna hate? Mike Shad. Well, out of Queens University, tackle.
I shat my pants.
Bob Buskowski, Rod Jones, 1 yard Dupard,
and then Neil Anderson. The 27th pick in the draft was the best one. Dalton
so
Hilliard.
Whoa!
Bowden play doesn't count.
I have more respect now for the 1 yard Dupard pick after reading all those guys off. Wow, not too many better ones in the top of the second round either.
No.
Dalton Hilliard was a pretty good player.
And Ernest Givens.
That's a bad year.
That's the worst draft I've ever seen.
That's a bad draft. As Tom, to quote Tom, sweet Jesus.
Now, that didn't have anything to do with the Patriots, NFL and being on strike or anything?
I have an announcement.
Mike Haas
was selected in the sixth round, as I was told to go screw myself. He would never be selected in the sixth round.
I don't care about Mike Haas, but go screw yourself.
All right, so Haas is off the board.
Yeah.
All right. Justin says, ProFootball.com says that the Pats will pick Vic with their seventh round pick. Man, I hope not.
What's ProFootball.com?
I don't know.
I did throw it out on the draft on the roster report.
And Fred will defend the pick once they make it.
No, I think this guy's just pulling Fred's chain.
What's the pick?
Marcus Vic.
Vic to the Patriots in the seventh round?
That would be tremendous.
No way.
So one pick you won't like.
I won't like that pick.
You'll like
it. Anyway.
We don't need him.
He'll defend it.
I'll lose respect for Fred if he defends that one because that guy is a flat-out criminal.
I promise I won't. I don't think he's a criminal. I just think
he's already defending it.
he's already setting the groundwork.
He's already laying the foundation.
Why? Because I refuse to call him a criminal?
He's a criminal.
Wasn't he arrested?
Makes you a criminal.
How many times?
I just think that he is lacks judgment. Get caught up in this whole Michael Vick's younger brother thing.
I agree with that. I think the worst thing that ever happened to him was Michael Vick became a superstar.
Yeah, I just don't think he's got the head to handle success and has also the determination to be successful. So, he's not going to make it in the NFL, period.
We get some sandwiches.
That's fair. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com.
Quick update, the Huskies and Towns and Tigers tied 2-2 in the top of the fifth, guys.
The only Husky you're allowed to talk about today is Ryan Gibbons.
Ryan Gibbons is not going to get drafted today.
You never know. He's got a tremendous upside. That's all the scouting reports I've read. Tremendous upside.
Yeah, that's those are the guys that get undrafted free agent status.
Could be here. That'd be big, big, big for DieHardDogs.com if Ryan Gibbons is a Patriot.
You know, it's like that the Redskins can't even stand a draft. Reed Doherty. I mean,
I don't know who that is.
Either do I. And how many prospects have we seen on tape? 8 million?
Jonathan Orr was to Tennessee.
Jonathan wide receiver.
But I heard a prominent NFC scout in the weight room at the combine say Jonathan Orr cannot play.
How do you know he's prominent?
Because I know which team he was on.
And you know who he is, and he's
yep.
prominent. You are full of crap.
I swear to God, I told you about it.
Meanwhile, you told me about it, but I don't remember the words prominent NFC scout.
Meanwhile, hey, it was up. Just some guy it was just some guy at the hotel gym in room 313. It wasn't even a scout.
He got the beer for them that night.
Right.
All right. Try to bring something to the show.
I thought you brought plenty, Tom.
See? You know,
I think you're doing a great
this
job.
This is why on message boards people say I try to talk football and you guys screw me up. You're bringing me down with the ship.
It's true.
I think it's funny, though, how some of these scouts are just, you know, the guy can't play. The guy just can't play.
No, I guess he had a bad combine. He did bad in the drills. That's what they were talking about.
That happens.
Well, and that's why I got picked in the sixth round.
Fred.
Yes.
Never having been to a Revolution game before.
Yes.
What is the significance of the guys that are out there practicing right now with the orange shirts on?
With the orange shirts on, I think, I don't know. It's probably just their defense, or I'm not sure.
No, they're all revs. And the other team has yellow shirts on. They're doing a little scrimmage over here.
Yeah, they probably just to divide them up. It's like pennies.
Well, yeah, I'm just wondering what the point is.
I don't think we'll be on the air when the Patriots pick.
No, yeah. You don't think so?
No.
Is this a full crowd right now?
Well, just to remind our listeners, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on at Patriots.com. You guys been blogging?
Not since we've been on the air.
No.
Not since you've been on the air? You
no.
blogged this morning, though.
Yeah,
a little blog later.
A little bit this morning.
Tom will be on it, yep.
So we got blogs going on. We've got.
Well, good, then I don't need to write a story
obviously
today.
Obviously, we've got this show. We've got the bulletin board going. We've got the chat room going on. We'll have analysis of all the picks. We've got all the bios of all the players. We'll have another Patriots Today show, and I thought last night's show was pretty good. Did you watch Patriots Today last night?
I did not.
It was very interesting because they went to the draft party, and right after the Maroney pick, and, you know, it wasn't like everybody was cheering at this thing. There were a lot of people, I think, were surprised when they picked Maroney.
Well, Fred, because those people that are there, they're fans. They're not like you.
No, but they you know.
They actually objectively look at the team.
And, you know, but then I think when they thought about it, you know, all the reaction that they, you know, interviewed people, it was all glowing, but
it wasn't all glowing.
The initial reaction that, you know, of people was a little bit of confusion, I would say. What?
I don't remember it all being glowing. Wasn't there one guy goes, I don't really like it, but whatever, I'll go eat my food.
It might have been.
Now, I like the pick a lot, but, you know, doesn't mean that I like every pick like Fred does.
It doesn't mean it's a good pick.
Right.
Well, I think one guy wanted to take, who was it?
Manny Lawson.
One guy wanted.
And I certainly wouldn't have been upset with that pick either.
I wanted to take D'Angelo Williams. I'll be honest.
Okay.
It's what I wanted. I think he's a game breaker.
You know,
I think he would have been exciting in a Patriots.
When you look at the listings, you know, the height and weight don't seem to be that much different depending on which guy.
Well, it depends on which one you use.
Right, but when you look at him, Williams is definitely small.
He's the same size as Emmitt Smith, the exact same size and the exact same build.
Who, Williams?
Yep.
Yeah, but he's smaller than
Maroney.
He's smaller than
Smith looks more solid than that.
Well, I don't know about that. D'Angelo Williams is pretty solid.
Yeah, he's very solid.
I'm not saying that he's, but
his legs, lower body strength is huge.
I thought that Smith looked a little bit more bulky than.
I think they're both solid.
But then again, I might be remembering Smith in his last few years.
Yeah, Maroney's a bigger guy,
right?
For sure.
Yeah. So, you know, forget about those draft boards. Look at what you see.
Right.
Time will tell. Time will tell who got the better player. Carolina Panthers or the New England Patriots?
Might find out this year. Deshaun Foster and Corey Dillon.
Both
with injury history.
No question. You could see both get a number of carries, and we could find out right away that D'Angelo Williams is the better player.
The Redskins took Reed Doty, strong yeah. safety.
It's obvious to me the Redskins just don't understand what the draft is all about, and it's obvious to me they don't care. I think they're picking players out of a hat. I think they're drinking like expensive scotch, smoking cigars, and just picking players out of hats.
Drinking scotch.
Free agency's over. Who drafts players anymore?
New Orleans picked Josh Bernard Lay. Cornerback out of Pittsburgh.
There's been a number of those today, huh?
What? Players we don't know?
Oh, Josh Bernard Lay, and we got Michael Garrett Mills.
Yeah, I've never heard Garrett Mills called Michael, but apparently that's his real first name.
Apparently. Doesn't even have a real name, a real position.
Up on the board right now is San Francisco with the sixth pick of the sixth round. So we're moving along here, folks.
Do you know his uncle is Kevin Harlan?
Play-by-play guy?
The announcer guy, I
well,
believe.
Everyone will know it when I put it in the story for the paper.
And his father, they all three play football at Tulsa. Mike, Uncle Kevin, and himself.
Also in the paper.
Hey, how about if we stay late? We go on after three, and Andy does play-by-play of the game for people.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
God.
I've always wanted, that's one thing about soccer I've always wanted to do with the goal.
Well, you won't be able to do that. This is the MLS. But
that's true.
But
Major League sucky.
Ayla Brown will be here.
I can boo that one.
I don't know why. What
that one
you
I
have
got
against
it just really doesn't make any sense.
It's just why?
Me. Why?
I'm
why she would even?
As Andy.
But why
I
would even
her.
Register either way? Like I don't know. I don't.
You don't
I,
find
I,
her
I would, no, I would equally not understand why someone who doesn't know her would say, "Oh, I really like her a lot." I would equally find that curious. I don't understand how you can just watch American Idol. She did absolutely not like Kelly Pickler. I could understand how you would say, you know what, she's so annoying, rubs me the wrong way.
And Ayla Brown did the exact same thing.
I don't know how many times I have to tell you this, Paul. Sometimes people hate for no reason.
I understand.
And Ayla Brown says, when I'm done, I'm going to go home and do some charitable endeavor.
I know that was a line from Rocky, but I'm actually being serious. Some people hate for no reason.
I do, and I'm one of them. But I don't understand what this person wanted
to be hated for no reason. She deserves to be hated.
I don't understand that. That's all I'm saying. She deserves to be hated because she's basically a model high school student. She gets good grades
fraud.
And does good things off the
she's a fraud.
Court.
She's a fraud.
Hey, the Red Sox win last night?
She's a machine. I hate her for the same reason
yes,
I hate
did,
Tiger
Fred.
Woods. She's a prepackaged perfect kid. She's the politician's perfect daughter. Ooh, look
See,
at my family. Look at my daughter.
As much
she's
as I,
great.
As much
she
as
plays
I
basketball.
Like Tiger Woods.
She does music. She does charity. She's perfect. Ooh.
As much as I like Tiger Woods, I could understand how someone might
same.
Not.
It's the same.
Well, he's abrasive. He's cocky, arrogant.
She's
I mean,
closet cocky.
Well, right. Maybe she is. But
oh.
I've never seen it on display.
It was
that's all.
The Rams trade tight end Brandon Malamaliuna to the Chargers. So that's why they drafted two tight ends.
Tom, how dare you talk about the draft?
But no
you're the one who asked about the Red Sox,
no
Fred.
Donnie Edwards involved.
No, it was for a fourth-round draft pick, I believe, next year.
And the Raiders are picking...
Raiders are on the board.
That'd be someone
picking...
stupid. Kevin Booth. That's actually.
I thought you liked him.
Yeah, hey, he did. That's a good.
That's
pick.
A good prospect
yeah.
out of one of my schools.
Well, talk about him, Paul.
He's played a lot of tackle at Cornell, but he would be a guard, I believe, at the pro level, if I'm not mistaken.
Looks like
is that right?
Looks like Al fell asleep again.
And they let somebody else pick.
He woke up. He woke up. They drafted Bing, and they put him back in the corner. Let's draft that guy and move him to linebacker. Okay, Al. Okay, where's his medicine?
Well, I think...
Fred asleep up there.
I think other than...
Al Davis of PFW.
I think overall this draft has been...
Oh, no.
I mean, if Reggie Bush ends up having the career we all think he has, this will be a memorable draft. But other than that,
Jonathan
it's been a
Lewis.
Boring draft, don't you think?
I don't see how it could be any different from any other draft.
No, I don't think it was boring.
Jonathan
so?
Lewis.
No.
Tom.
You had the usual
lineman from Virginia Tech.
You had the usual the guy
for Arizona.
Yeah,
he was going to be a top 15 pick. I can't believe he's available in the third round. And
I think it was a typical. I think it was a typical draft. And I'll paraphrase Bill. It pretty much went the way we thought it would.
Yeah, you know what I'm really surprised about though is the guy from Stanford is still available. I thought he'd go at least like in the like fourth, fifth round area. It's sixth round. That's tremendous value. He's a smart player. He can do, you know, he's a big run stuffer. You think, you always hear there's a premium on these guys, and here's a guy in the sixth round who, you know, he's no character issues whatsoever. He's a phenomenal person.
Play. I don't know.
But I heard that he, you know, I've heard some good reports that he can play.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Happens every year. There's a couple of them.
I'm just, that's the guy, if you ask me if I'm surprised who's still on the board, I would say him.
Paul, you bring up an interesting point. Bill did say it, you know, unfolded pretty much how they expected.
Yeah.
Except when he builds up into the draft, he says, well, after the first three or four picks, you never really have no idea how it's going to unfold.
Absolutely.
So, Bill, what the hell are you talking about?
Right. Absolutely.
Do we have the AFC East picks in front of us somewhere? Can we?
I do.
Yes, Tom does.
Let's go over who our rivals have picked.
You know, as good as our show was yesterday, I think today was that bad.
All right, hang on. Let me just see who San Fran picked. I missed it again. Oh, hang on, because I don't got this pick. I was wondering.
What number are we looking for?
175.
Right here.
Delonte
Walker, wide receiver, Central Missouri State. All right.
I like him. I never heard of him. I bet I saw some tape on him.
Right, while you're looking that up, Matt from Cambridge says, Pats have to take a linebacker in the sixth now. Some names I think of, Kai Parham, Dale Robinson, or Oliver Hoyt. Pats need some defense now after all the offense has been taken earlier. What do you guys think of Dwayne Slay from Texas Tech as a 6th or 7th round project at safety?
I liked him, you know, watching him on game, like when I watched games of Texas Tech, but then he ran a 4.8, 4.9, 40, and I'm not a big 40 man, but geez, that's awful slow for a safety. So as far as his play goes, I liked him, but I hope he plays a lot faster than he runs the 40 in. Do you want the picks there, Fred?
From sure.
The Jets, we got the Brick.
Good.
Good pick. Nick Mangold.
Good
pick. Kellen Clemens.
Good pick.
Good pick. Anthony Schlegel, bit of a reach. Probably will fit in well in that defense. Eric Smith, safety. We thought there were some better options on the board. Brad Smith, awful pick. Leon Washington won't make the team. And some backup tight end from Wisconsin I've never heard of. That's the Jets. The Bills draft. Decided not to trade down 10 spots and take Dante Whitner, so they took him at 8.
Reach.
Decided to move up in the first round and take McCargo. I didn't think that
Reach.
Was. I kind of like that pick.
Reach.
Took Yabody in the third round. I just don't understand that because they have a ton of defensive backs already and he stinks. Then took another defensive back, Coe Simpson. Took the defensive tackle Kyle Williams, which we thought was a good pick, and offensive tackle Brad Butler was their draft. That could only be average at best. And then the Dolphins are easy. They only had 3 picks. Jason Allen, reach. Derek Hagan, thought better receivers were on the board. Joe Toledo, offensive tackle. Don't know a thing about him.
Joe versus the volcano. No idea.
So, nothing. Probably the Jets had the best draft, I would say.
But I think it's interesting that we all feel that the Patriots, even though they picked after those teams, we feel the Patriots got better picks,
yeah.
Better value.
And it's not even because
at the top of the draft.
We really believe that.
It's true.
Joey says he's turning the show off after 2-plus years of listening.
Why? What happened?
Because you guys make fun of me too much. You pile on.
Who is this?
Sorry,
says,
Joe.
Ever since Tom came on, it's turned uglier and uglier week by
is
week.
Is Joey Feep? I don't like you anyway. So go hit the off button because I don't care if
you're
or not.
Joey Feep, you better not run into Tom somewhere.
No,
some of the stuff.
I don't know how all the regular other listeners feel, but I just can't stomach it anymore.
Good.
Gary,
see you later.
A great job, and I like you a lot, and I love the show before Tom came on.
Good. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Don't let the door hit you in the ass.
He ruined your show and got Paul talking and thinking in the same mean-spirited fashion. Andy is still funny and colorful. I miss Brian a lot. Tom is abrasive and disruptive.
Well, go listen to Brian.
Good luck with the show.
Go join the three other people.
Hey, Joey, just know one thing. I get a check every 2 weeks signed by Jonathan Kraft or Robert Kraft. So no matter what you think, I work for the New England Patriots, baby. Bye-bye.
Joey.
That'll really
Joey.
Make him feel better about that abrasive comment.
Joey Feeb, don't take it so personal.
Zaki says, hey guys, I just wanted to thank you for all the coverage.
You're welcome.
All I get is ESPN, and I don't think they covered the Pats over 5 minutes. It was good to hear all of your comments, suggestions, and surprises. Thanks for making the draft interesting.
Do we have to stand for this?
Well, I just think it's great that...
We got the national anthem. I think we're supposed to.
Do we have to take our headphones off?
I don't know.
I think it's great, by the way, that some people think that ESPN did great at applauding our draft efforts, and other people think they just ignored us for their entire 10-hour production.
Taking a moment of silence? Or?
Well, I got to keep doing the show, Andy.
Well,
Doug says, time is short. Just wanted to say, an outstanding job you did. I wish the other NFL fans knew what they were missing. Well, thanks, Doug.
Thanks.
We appreciate that. Not everyone hates Tom.
Yeah, Joey.
So, I guess with that, we're going to close out this year's NFL Draft Show as the Revolution begins their season opener and the national anthem goes on here.
And
so
we'll take a moment of silence for Joey Feep.
We're going to say goodnight. We'll see you Wednesday to talk even more about the draft and when we get a real bird's eye view of these players. We'll see you on Wednesday.